You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with you as Survivor Week is finally here. And so we are going to kick off the week that we get to finally see Survivor 42 with our second ever live Survivor Draft. Yes! Welcome back, everybody. We have an esteemed team of Survivor drafters back again. We had so much fun in the fall doing this for the first time in Survivor 41. I have to give the credit to Sam Moore, who came up with this idea, said, this is a thing we got to do. He sent out the invites, and now here we are back again for this Survivor 42 draft. Let's welcome everybody in, and I guess let's start with a woman who is taking a break here from covering Australian Survivor. Please, let's welcome back the great Shannon Gus. Shannon, how are you?
I'm good. A break is the, you know, maybe too much of a word. I'm between an exit interview this morning, Australian Survivor being on again tonight. There is no break in Australian Survivor is what I'm trying to say, but we will fit in Survivor 42 somehow.
Shannon, I know that you have a ton of coverage going on with Survivor, with Australian Survivor. Have you managed to fit in all of the preseason of Survivor 42?
I just finished your third interview podcast with Mike this morning. Mm-hmm. So that was into the wire, but we did it. So I did those four podcasts. I think I still have time for It's a Look. I don't know how much more are you releasing, because I don't have that much more
this
time.
This is it. If I can get Nicole, we'll get Nicole and I will do something if she has time in the schedule. Okay.
I will find time for it. I will 1.8 you guys, and I will love everything. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's welcome in, of course, he kicked things off in the draft last season. Of course, you know him from many podcasts, including Nothing But Netflix. Here is the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I'm good. I'm happy to be back, especially with this group of people. This is an amazing group of people to compete against in these kind of things. Last time, I feel like I did pretty well, despite having the first and the last pick. And so this time, I'm just going to keep my fingers crossed and be optimistic and see what happens. But I'm excited.
Okay. All right. Good luck, Chappelle, of course, here with us after a busy weekend on the Love is Blind with the reunion show dropping and, of course, on Married at First Sight. Please welcome back Asia Welch. Asia, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm doing well. I'm excited to be back. And I'm just echoing what Chappelle said. Like, I feel like I'm just amongst such a wonderful group of people. Like, am I worthy? You know, like,
if you pick the right person tonight.
True. Yeah. So I'm going to go with a different approach than the last draft. I just overthought it last time. I was just in my head and trying to think about all the ins and outs. But this time I'm just going with my gut. So okay, we'll see how that works out.
All right. Good luck tonight, Asia. You know, it's a little bit not unlike Love is Blind. You just got to go with your gut.
Yeah. And then I'll just be in love in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Then, of course, about to kick off another season of the Survivor B&B. You know her from the Masked Singer wrap up coming back, RuPaul's Drag Race wrap up, and more. It's Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm also doing well. I have on my, I truly believe that butterflies are just dead relatives saying hi t-shirt. So I
did you make that yourself or is that Xander merch?
Oh, I purchased this from the official CBS store. Okay. Yeah, they have the phrases. Mike and I went into detail on the B&B preview show, which should be released soon. So definitely you want to check that out because okay. You don't want to miss it.
Bad news for Shannon, another Survivor podcast dropping.
You can't get to it. I won't play with you guys. It's fine.
You can two exit. Two exit. Okay. No,
of course. Also with us, of course, you know, he's made a lot of waves in drafting lately. He is back here tonight, getting ready to talk about 90 Day Fiancé tomorrow. Here is Puya Zamfakili. Puya, how are you?
I mean, it's only up from here, truly. I've been given many redemption chances this week with two drafts. I, too, came prepared. I've got a mug right here from the CBS store.
What?
I am as confused as a goat on AstroTurf. This was a birthday present from Liana herself.
Liana, stop spending money
at
the CBS store.
This is the one that will change things.
Okay.
I'm excited. This will be fun. It's always great to hang out with you lovely folks. And here's hoping for better results. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you caught any of the Big Brother Canada draft this past week, I want to introduce you to somebody known as Draft Taren, of course. He is coming off of two wins in a row. Here he is, the chief Big Brother correspondent for Rob as a Podcast. Here is Taren Armstrong. Taren, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. I'm excited to be here. Draft Taren, you know, I'm just happy to be here. I got I had Team Grenade last time. We blew into a victory. It was great.
Well, I got Team Grenade last time, okay?
you're the propulsion of two grenades just blew Erica all the way to the end for me. it really helped out. So we've got, you know, two goals, you know, no grenade, yes grenade, Puya gets grenaded. That's the third rule. We're ready.
Okay. By the way, is the grenade rule back in effect? If you have the first person kicked off of the show, your team is invalidated?
How well that went last time. How could you even ask?
Now, what we ran into problems with last time out was that two people went home in the premiere. That I anticipate that we will see two people also go home on Wednesday night. What I am not sure of is, will it be the same format as Survivor 41, or will we see two cycles?
Well, Puya will just have both, so it'll be fine. It'll immediately solve itself.
Please, discount me, y'all. Discount me. This is all part of the grand plan. I will say this as the, let me give you the first, you know, person view of someone who did get both grenades. It was not great. Didn't feel great. The second boot was fine after the first boot goes. However, having someone go all the way to the finale, finish second, was heartbreaking every week for me because I was like, if he wins, it doesn't count. I'm just sitting here watching someone I picked first literally go potentially for the gold, and it was heartbreaking. So to the future grenade holder, that isn't me. Yeah. Good luck.
Should there be a Puya clause in that?
Oh,
if you get both grenades from the first episode, should you get ungrenaded?
Yeah, so like that's almost harder to do. So I think we should do that.
No, tomato, no. Tomato, tomato.
Doesn't like it.
I wish you felt.
Hell no.
Wait, no. If you get both grenades, you pay us each $50.
$50.
That's fine. The likelihood that it's me again is very little. So
what about the golden snitch rule? If all three of your people are out 1, 2, 3, you just automatically win.
Yeah. I changed the draft strategy because now I got to flip my whole draft order.
Okay,
it's like going for spades,
shooting the moon. Got to get all of it.
All right. So we have a lot to get to. 18 draft picks coming. I will be moderating the draft. I will not be drafting a team here tonight. All of our draft panelists will be taking three people. Taryn Armstrong will give us the draft order in a moment. That is his right as the winner of the draft from season 41 of Survivor. All that's coming up, of course, Wednesday night. Be sure to join us live after the episode when Survivor Know-It-Alls returns once again. And we will be back to recap the episode. I believe, is it 2 hours coming up on Wednesday night? I think Sam Moore is giving me a thumbs up. 2 hours, we will be live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you're subscribed to Rob is a Podcast. Go to robiswebsite.com/subscribe, where you can subscribe to our main feed, or robiswebsite.com/Survivor Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to get all things Survivor on RHAP, including the BNB, Why Blank Lost, the Survivor Stock Watch. Shannon, will there be U.S. Survivor recaps coming on the Survivor Global feed, in addition to Australian Survivor?
Yes. Oh my God. Do you think that I have a life?
Oh. Yeah. All right. Shannon, please pace yourself.
Well, again, Australian Survivor doesn't take a vacation. So.
Yes. And of course, the Purple Pants Podcast Survivor News Edition also in our Survivor Podcast feed. All right. So, Taryn, let's get down to business. Yes, Chevelle.
1 second. I do want a rules clarification, though. In the event that we do the double grenade thing again, right? Like there's two grenades. Are we doing that each person that gets eliminated the first round, like both of them are the grenade, or is it like the first one that goes to tribal council? How do we know? That
the first person who gets kicked off the show was the grenade. 18th
place was the grenade. Oh,
okay. There was some question as to whether, wait, hold on, which tribal council were they going to do first? Luckily, Puya got both grenades. We didn't have to figure that out. Well,
did they? Because the tribe that came in third place, like last place, they went first, right? So
maybe it should be the tribe.
That's a good clarification. If it's the tribe that came in last, that's the one. If they follow the same pattern,
okay.
Well, like, because sometimes they switch it. Like Sandra and Poverty and Winners at War, they switched it. Like I think the tribe that comes in last, that person lost more.
Okay. All right, okay, fair enough. So we have a rules clarification.
Yeah, so it'll either be, if it's two rounds, it's whoever leaves first. If it's one round, whichever tribe came in last place, regardless of chronologically when they show it, that person on that tribe will be the
winner. Okay. All right.
You get ungrenaded if it's a double tribal and you had both.
Chappelle did not agree to that. Chappelle did not agree to that. Yeah.
What? But it will vote on it. Chappelle didn't agree.
I will say this. Recently, Chappelle's take has not been a popular one, so I don't know.
What did I do this time? Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Wait, Santa Claus is a prize.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So I will get a cameo for the winner of this draft from the winner, unless they give themselves like an unrealistic price, like, $700.
They know that someone's owed a cameo. So
they're like, get it once. Yeah.
If you won and you're watching this, the minute the draft's over, bump up to 1,000.
No way. Not doing it. Not doing it. Within reason. Okay.
All right. So a cameo for the winner with a $40 limit.
$69 limit.
Fair.
Okay. Nice. There you go. All right.
Nice.
Taryn. All right. Can you please do us the honors of telling us the draft order?
Okay. So we're doing a snake draft in normal fashion this time. So it's going to be 1-6, 6-1, 1-6. And everyone's going to get a play, right? There's 18 total?
18.
Okay. All right. So I have one question to ask. Shannon, what is the optimal draft position?
I don't want to say. I want to say that you look lovely tonight.
Thank you so much.
Just killing it right now.
That's so kind of you.
I mean, so if you have 6 and 7, are you then getting 18? Is that how we're doing it?
Yes.
Ooh. So, ooh. Okay, so maybe like 2 or 3 wouldn't be terrible. Why, are you offering for me?
I was in fact offering, yeah. So here's what I'll do.
What I said about you looking lovely.
You didn't even need to say that. Yeah, mm-hmm. You were good. You were fine.
I just mean it. I'm not kidding. Why is this happening? Do you underestimate me? Do you think that I can have a good draft position because I'm a bad draft?
Yes, Shannon.
Good question.
Give us the full
That's
Shannon.
What he's saying.
Full Shannon right now.
I wanted some strategy tips from Shannon, and I wanted to do you a solid. I feel like you'd appreciate it the most.
I will take, so if I get three, then I do appreciate it. Like I get three and then I get like nine.
Is this official? Shannon is three.
I'm going to take two. No, give me two. Cause I didn't
Shannon
know
is two.
Okay. Thank you, Darren. But You're also welcome. Insulted by you. But also, thank
you. Oh boy. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, Shannon is two. I am going to be number one.
Okay.
Number one draft. Yes. Okay. Let's see. Next up, we'll go Chappelle. Number
three.
I'm trying to reverse the what mm-hmm. happened last time. I feel like Shannon and Chappelle were the least happy with their positions.
They were also picks one and two that last time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me four.
Puya wants four. Do I hear any I'll else?
Any objections?
Here we go. What do we have on offer?
Taryn playing God right now.
I was grenaded twice. Give me, please.
I mean, wait, that's it's kind of an argument for you to be last, yeah. Puya.
Right. Don't, I say, don't make me split them up, right? So either.
Oh, we so want really the choice. Together.
Yes. Yeah. Put them together over here.
That is a more compelling argument. Asia is fourth.
So cute.
Sorry.
Broken.
All right, now Puya, you can fifth or sixth. It's up to you.
Ooh,
give Liana, me
Liana. Liana can be fifth. I'll take whoever.
No, I can take sixth.
No, I'll take sixth.
Give me last pick, baby. Aww. Let's do this. Let the fate decide for me.
The love.
I'll be last.
No,
yeah.
I'll be last.
Liana, in the chance that I get grenaded again, I would like to blame it on the draft order. Let me be.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right. Cool. Yeah. If you're just joining us and have not been following the Big Brother Canada, Puya did select the first person to be voted out of Big Brother Canada in the draft earlier this week.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Mm. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm actually touched.
Oh,
okay. Here we go. All right. So the order is Taryn, Shannon, Chappelle, Asia, Liana, Puya. Okay. And then that will reverse and snake back for a total of three rounds. All right. So Taryn, with the number one pick overall that you wanted, there must be somebody that you feel incredible about.
Absolutely. Last season, I felt best about Erica. She was my number one pick on the board. I was lucky to get her. And that's because in her bio, she said something about her pet peeve being men with ill-fitting jeans. And I thought that was very funny and relatable. And so equally relatable answer in a bio, pet peeve, slow walkers. Hate them.
No.
They're the worst. They're the worst. So Chanel is going to be my number one pick.
Number one overall is Chanel. Okay. Doesn't like the slow walkers. We'll put the picture up here on the screen for you to check out. All right. Taryn, I'm sure there must be more than just doesn't like the slow walkers.
I mean, it's a huge deal, Rob. I really feel
like. Well, why don't you like slow walkers?
Because I like to walk fast. And slow walkers walk slow.
Are there often people block? Like, are you on like a Manhattan sidewalk? Where are these people slowing you down?
Well, luckily nowadays it's not an issue. But in the past, when I lived in Boston, or when I went to New York, or when I'm walking with people that are slow, and like, you know, they want to do that weird thing where they talk to people while they're walking. Like it's a whole thing, Rob.
You want no talking on the walk?
No, I'm fine with talking. It's okay. Just like, if you want to talk to me, I would love it if you kept up, you know, okay. That'd be great.
All right.
Rob, I have a sneaking suspicion here that Taryn was going to pick Chanel, regardless of her pet peeve. Taryn, tell us more about Chanel, because maybe I didn't read her bio that well. I now know her pet peeve. What else about Chanel do you like?
I really like Chanel. She's 29 years old. It's a great age to be playing this game. She is she seems very personable. She has a lot of game knowledge. She's played online games, I think, in the past. And I just feel like, she really stood out to me. Like she like in a cast where I feel like not a lot of people stood out to me and like spoke to me, Chanel did. And I'm very, very, excited about watching Chanel on the show.
Gotcha.
Okay. Did anybody else have, Chanel, number one?
I didn't have her number one, but she's definitely top three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh. Not a high up. Yeah. Not number one.
You know, I'm not drafting. But to me, I did feel like that this season is very even. I did not feel like that there were people that were really standing out. I felt like that even last season, I felt like I had people that I felt like, ooh, really, really strong about.
Yes.
Whereas I feel like that this was more of an even field.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I felt very strongly about wanting Chanel, because like Chanel is somebody that just like kind of fits everything that I'm looking for. And I feel like really nobody else on the cast does. So I really wanted to make sure I got her.
Okay. Was anybody, lower on Chanel?
Well, lower than one, yes, but I do echo top pick. I will say, you know, one of the things that has been mentioned is Chanel playing these orgs and potentially being someone who has, you know, been in the org gambit, has played a couple of those. Orgs are so complicated to equate to these games because, especially if they're the one-nighters, it means nothing. The one-nighters are such a different ball game. Obviously, this is a Survivor season where it's a faster-paced game. It's 26 days as opposed to 39, so there's a little bit more speed to it. But I can't equate all that much with that. Ultimately, I think this is a great pick. Not mad at this pick at all. Chanel would hate me because you can ask Liana. I am a very slow walker, so she would not be vibing. Would not be vibing with me, but okay. I'm vibing with her. I like her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel really positive about her as well. I felt like all of her answers were the right answer. It seemed, you know, the people that she listed, she talked about people like Tasha Fox and Kim Spradlin and Michelle Fitzgerald. It felt like she had a really great sense of how she was going to come across and how she would be perceived. I mean, we'll see if that's actually the case once she gets out there. And so I think having that self-awareness is going to be huge. So I'm absolutely not mad at this being the first pick. She was in my top three.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else on Chanel?
Think about it this way as well. She's going to be the first person to tribal every time. Mm-hmm. If there's an idol hiding in the podium, she's going to be first to it. Mm-hmm. Idol hunting in general, she'll be able to outwalk people to the idols. Competitions, yeah. If there's any walking, boom, easy, done.
Classic survivor.
Outwalk, outlast, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Shannon, you were very quiet during the Chanel talk. You must be deep in thought.
Yeah,
for your pick here at number two.
No. I just worked out why Taron did what he did. That's why? What I've been thinking.
Oh. Explain.
Because now it's on me. Like I don't know that second pick was good. Now I'm doubting my own position. Now it's like a poison chalice. Like now, if I make any mistakes, that's on me. I can't blame it on a bad drop. That's exactly what he did.
He cursed me.
Don't get in your head. You got this. Okay. You are confident.
And second was not a good, because I got thrown off by the order being different.
Do you want to trade out of the second spot?
You want to swap with Puya?
Well, Puya will have 6 and 7.
Yeah,
and one, the rock one, one. One and six doors like,
closed. Would you like to change your door?
Yeah.
I've heard this before. AJ, do you want to swap?
Do you really?
Then I get what? 4, 9... And
I think your fate is sealed. I think you should. Okay, you have right, to. Right. You have to keep. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, is that allowed? Is that allowed? Could Shannon trade out of the two spots?
Yeah. If I approve it, I think.
Hold on. You made the order. You're not God. Yeah.
Limit Terrence power.
Yeah.
Listen, he doesn't win all these drafts. You gotta tell him what he can and can't do.
Yeah. You made the order, but you don't.
No.
You don't run the league.
Then it's more choice.
Yeah.
And then if I do bad, it's even worse. That I would.
Yeah, because then I'm like, Shannon, you traded down and then you got the grenade. Look at you with your grenade face on.
Why did you do this to me?
You're letting Taron. You're letting him out.
You know. What can you do?
That's exactly what he intended to do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so Shannon is gonna keep the pick.
That's again a choice. No more choices for me except
the
for the
pick
drop.
Is in.
Okay, well, I will be left with my Winnipeg. I also felt very even cast. I put them into three groups, like of in a draft order, but I felt like there was a few people on the bottom, but otherwise I felt it could kind of go anyway. Mm-hmm. This person's my winner pick, someone I got a really good feeling about in the interview. Thought that they were very smart without coming across too game body. Super charismatic. I'm going with Omar.
Okay.
That makes me feel great. That makes me feel great about staying here. It's my choice. And taking a pick. Chevelle, were you going to take Omar?
That was my number one pick.
Omar Zahir, the 31-year-old from Whitby, Ontario, who's a veterinarian.
Yes, I love that he's a vet, gotta say, because I love animals, and anyone who dedicates their life to helping animals, incredible.
Okay.
More about Omar, but why? I just think that he came across like it really like struck me in the interview. Like I can't even describe, like I feel like super smart, funny, charismatic, big fan, good age. The age thing, I don't want to give away like too much of my thought process, like a Disney villain just like explaining everything, but like the age thing last season was something I was like, if they're young, we'll get through it. But then I felt like burned on the age thing from like all the young. I felt like it affected them all in different ways, negatively for their game. So now I'm like really set on like them not being too young. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 31. Like I just feel like he's got it all. And Chappelle was gonna pick him even better. Feeling good about it. Sorry, Chappelle.
No, I had a whole speech prepared and now I'm like
right now.
Use it now. I don't wanna say it. Oh well, he is the grenade, so I was gonna pick him to take that bullet for all of y'all, but luckily Shannon has stepped in to do that. So you know. Thank you.
I can't imagine a world where he's first boot as well.
Like. Exactly. That's really where I was going. Omar, I just don't see a world where he's going first. And my goal in these drafts is to not grenade. And so that was where I was going, and I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of other targets on that tribe that could be first boot. So
mm-hmm. Okay. Is anybody down on Omar?
Again, top three pick here. Omar mm-hmm. checked all the boxes, right? For me, where I would have picked Canadian, check. Muslim, more representation, check. Excited to see what he does. Enjoyed his bio. His pet peeves were equal parts, you know, relevant, funny. Shannon, someone who does support Ross, Rob.
Don't even get me started.
Omar doesn't mess with Joey. And I think that helped him get picked by Shannon here.
No, because he said that Joey was a pet peeve, and I was like, I don't love that, because I still love Joey. Then Rob and Mike said Ross should be a pet peeve, and then I was so angry about that I was all the way back in on Omar. So that's what helped me pick as well. I was, like, in my car quite angry about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, just because nobody ever says my pet peeve is Joey.
It's true. That's a hot take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They get him in the hot take off.
Yeah, like that. I mean, Joey was honestly problematic. Like, no one even thinks about Joey. Omar has some good ideas.
Okay,
and I'm interested to hear them for 26 Days of Survivor.
All right, I'm sure that they'll spend a lot of time on CBS talking about the problems with Joey from Friends. Yeah. Okay.
My only thing with Omar is that one of his pet peeves is that he doesn't like people that complain about vet care. I mean, vet care is kind of expensive sometimes. You
know? But it's saving your animals.
Go off, Asia. What is going on with these vets?
Right. It is a pretty penny. It's worth it. I'll pay it no mm-hmm. matter the cost. But if I want to complain a little bit, doesn't mean I'm not going to pay. Doesn't mean I'm not going to provide the best provide the best care for my animal, you know?
So mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if I pay for anything, I have the right to complain about it. You know, it's like, I want a cell phone. I want the cell phone plan. But damn, these prices are pretty ridiculous.
Right. I'm saying. You know, you only have so much money for pet care. And then the vet wants their money. What money is left over to have a birthday party for your dog?
Right.
Yeah.
Very true. These are all valid points. So, I mean, as long as I'm going to pay, why does he care that I'm going to complain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're paying good money. You should get to complain.
Exactly.
Yes.
Do you feel like he could argue with someone about this on the first day and it could send him home as a grenade? Because otherwise I feel like maybe he's well insulated in terms of that being his one flaw. I mean, look, he's a vet. So like he's biased, of course, for that take. But
if that's the one thing that always comes up, like, oh, hey, Omar, what do you do? Oh, I'm a vet. Oh, can you believe people always complain about vet care? I hope that's not his thing.
I want to train. But look, if Omar's gonna do that, then there are bigger problems.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yes, Taryn.
Well, I think Omar looks great on paper, but I do think there is one potential flaw. Yes. That is, you know, he was asked, who do you think you're gonna play the most like?
Yes.
Right. And number one answer on the board, Rob Cesternino.
Red flag.
Never won.
Why would you want to play by somebody who lost? Oh my God. Twice?
It's going to be me.
A regular grenade.
All right, this went too far. I was just
smoking. Taryn, I thought that was the bit.
I thought I was going to get jumped on. Now I feel bad.
Mm-hmm. We had your back.
Wow, Taryn.
Right. Everyone was on board with that take. Everyone was like, yeah.
Good point.
Aaron, you pay out.
Points
checks,
were
right?
made. Yes. That's where the money's coming from. Yes. All right. Anything else on Omar?
What if he tries to nurse the fish that they catch back to health and put them back in the ocean? Like his vet instincts take over.
I would love
like
that.
Rupert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of.
So somebody has caught a fish that they tried to eat, and he tries to get it back to being healthy.
Yeah, he tries to put it back in the ocean. Like he tries to heal it. He's a vet, and it's like his nature. You know, because everybody takes stuff from their job and applies to Survivor. So I was just thinking, like, how could his job apply?
If he trains the chickens?
Yeah, what if...
Yeah, what if animal is not good for Survivor.
What if he, like, raises a bunch of chickens from the dead and then has, like, an undead chicken army?
Ooh.
Probably less likely, but I mean, suppose...
He's a vet, right? Like, that's what they do.
He's a vet, but not a necromancer. Anything's
possible.
You check his eyes?
Out of context account, that's the one. He's a vet, not a
I will say I've never come across someone who spoke positively or good about pigeons. So I'd like to meet the people Omar's meeting. You know, part of the pet peeves word speaks people that speak bad about pigeons. I've never met the opposite. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, called them harmless. Yeah. That's not true.
You call them voluptuous.
Pigeons
also.
Are kind of most pet pigeons are kind of aggressive. You know, in New York at least. So you know, I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
All right. Omar is Shannon's pick at number two. Let's move on to Chappelle, who has...
Omar and his chicken army of the undead. I'm excited about it.
Okay. All right. Should we give an emoji to each of the players? We had fun with the other night with Bryce with this on the...
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Do we have a chicken emoji?
Yeah.
A chicken emoji?
Yeah.
But then what's Chanel?
I don't know. Is there a fast walking...
Yeah.
There is a fast one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. It's my turn, Rob.
Yes.
I'm in.
All right.
Okay. This pick is because I feel like if someone else gets them on their team, then I'm going to be very sad that they're not on my team. So it's not about the winning. It is about the fact that I want to root for this person all season, and I can't root for them if they're on y'all's teams. Okay. So... I'm picking Marianne.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to do it.
Marianne.
Yeah. She just pops, you know, like the energy is there. She knows what she's talking about. She's Canadian, so she's nice, you know, but there's it's so infectious. And so while I am worried about her later in the game, you know, there are some people on this cast that are very athletic. She does not look like she is very athletic, but she is very outgoing and social. And so I'm hoping that that carries her a while until she can make some strategic moves. But Marianne is my pick. I'm very happy with this pick. I am sad that I didn't get Omar, but since that is the grenade, I'm happy to pick Marianne.
Okay. Marianne's been all over the promos so far this season. She's doing it to prove that you can be weird and be on Survivor. And here she is, Chappelle's pick at number three. Anybody else feel very strongly on the positive side for Marianne?
Oh, she was my number one.
Oh, Asia's number one. Oof.
Wow, this draft order is becoming very essential right now.
Who did this?
I blame Taryn.
Yeah.
Yep.
You do. She was my number two for a very important reason. Pet peeves. when people don't listen to me, people who walk slowly in front of me.
Oh my God, Jared.
Now listen, that's not as good as just slow walk, because it's not just people that walk slowly in front of you. It's also people that you're walking with that force you to walk slowly. So she only got half of it. So that's why she was number two.
My God. Yeah.
The only thing that worries me about her is that she has been so present on like the promos and stuff. And I feel like Survivor might want to hide their winner from us, kind of like they did all last season, literally until like the last three episodes when Taryn decided to win. But, you know, like, yeah, I think that is the thing that gives me trepidation. We see so much of them. So I'm like, oh, man, you know, would they really just be like hyping her up to be this big winner and the star of the season? Because I know she's going to be a star. Make no mistake.
I don't really think winning or losing has any bearing on who they hype up or not. I think that they hype up the people that are going to be sort of the stars of the season. And whether she wins or not, I feel like it's kind of like irrelevant to that conversation.
We shall see.
Yeah.
She's so charismatic, and just listening to her, I felt happier, and I just feel like that energy is going to be so wonderful to be around, and I think she's going to be able to attract people that want to work with her, so I believe in this pick. I think it's really solid.
Yeah. Thanks. No, everything she says in her bio, I loved. Talking about being a great listener, just because I talk a lot doesn't mean I don't listen. I let people vent to me. I think that's great. That's very good. The other thing is, I do think longevity-wise, Marianne should be solid. Marianne and Omar, both Canadian, both from the GTA Greater Toronto area, on the same starting tribe. So I feel good about that connection as well being something to happen. I'm feeling everything with Marianne. Marianne was fourth on my board, so she was high up there for me too.
Yes.
But she's on the tribe with Omar, and I agreed with you and Mike, Rob, when you were talking about how they could maybe be a pair and kind of run everything. There are some other options there that could go early. I feel I can see the center of control being them two on that tribe. I feel really good about her as well. She's a little bit young for me now, 24. I feel burned by the age thing, but like the 24 is not 21. You got to be born not in the 2000s.
There's a lot of people in their younger 20s, and that was kind of frustrating to me because I too agree that you probably want to be a little bit more seasoned. But like, I can't have Marianne doing well in the game like Shan did last season. And I just had to sit back and be like, oh my God, if Shan wins this game, I'm going to be miserable because I should have picked Shan. And so, yeah, couldn't do it. I got to pick Marianne, and I'm fine with whatever happens from here.
Okay. All right. Anybody down on Marianne?
Queen.
I mean, I do think the age thing is potentially an issue, but as Chappelle said, I mean, there's not really like a great range of people in the right age range. There are a lot of people that are a bit older than the sort of typical average, and a lot of people that are a bit younger than the typical average, and not many that are in that sweet spot. So it's I don't think that that's a very reliable thing to look at here. So the real question is, do you get the vibe that the age thing is going to hurt her more than other people that are, you know, a little bit younger? And I don't think so, but you never know.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's not super young, but like on her tribe, she's really young because she's 24 and then Jonathan's 29 and that's the next youngest. So it's a bit of an older tribe, but I think maybe that they'll kind of gravitate towards her or be like protective of her until she you know, finds her own feet and shows them all why they shouldn't have maybe given her that grace. So I think it's a really good pick. Chappelle, great job.
Thank you.
Chappelle, do we have an emoji for Marianne?
I just feel like the big, like, toothy grin emoji, like my cheese. Like, that is my favorite emoji currently. And yeah, I think that's the one that you got to go with for Marianne.
Okay. All right, let's go to Asia, who has the number four pick overall. All right. Asia was upset that... Was it Omar and Marianne? All of her top picks are being
Chanel
taken.
Okay,
Chanel, Marianne have been taken off the board. All right, so Asia, who falls to you at number four?
So I'm going to just have to go with the only other person that was in my top three. I was trying to be flexible since I knew this could happen, but I'm going to go with a person who I feel like just all signs are just pointing to we're vibing, right? They're 29. His bio speaks to me. I'm going to go with high.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And, oh my God. These picks are so good.
That's a good pick. Yeah. I almost went with high. I did.
Okay. All right, let's talk about high. Bryce also was very high on him because that he came away as one of the top picks from It's a Look. Tell us about high.
So the three words he used to describe himself are aggressive, astute, audacious. My nickname is A, so I loved that they all started with an A.
Oh.
he likes to bring his dogs to dog parks so we can relate in that way. Yeah.
What does he think about vet prices?
I hope he doesn't complain. Good thing he's not starting on a tribe with Omar. I do like that on his starting tribe, he is with Chanel. So that could be a good, I could see them working together. He's a data scientist, so he's smart. And I just feel like he has lived a life. Like there are a lot of things he talked about in his bio and he talked about in his interview with Mike Bloom that, you know, just he has experienced quite a lot, especially at 29. And so I feel like coming into this game, like just being well-rounded as he described himself, it's a good sign. I could see him getting along with a bunch of different types of people. I don't see him only working with one type of person. So I see good things.
Okay. Chappelle, you said that you almost went with high.
Yeah, I was going to get high, but I got distracted by Marianne. Well, the thing is like the age range is like, that's right there where we want. He came out very likable, but also very like intelligent and smart. And like he has a good mind for the game. And so I was like, okay, I got to pick high. But again, Marianne is just so like, I was just gravitated to her. I was like, I can't let this happen again, you know? So, a part of me wanted to pick Shan last time and I didn't. And so I was like, okay, this time just, you know, they're going to make a heart pick here, not a head pick here. And so, yeah, so I went with my heart, picked Marianne, and I'm okay with it. And so, but I think High is going to do well. I'm so excited to see them play. It's going to be a fun thing to watch.
Yeah. I really like High. I particularly liked the alliteration, the three words. That made me very high on High. But I do have a bone to pick with High. This is an issue that I have with High. And that is that, High said that he wants to play like Parvati, but he's not hot nor charming, which, first of all,
come on. Kind of fishing. He's fishing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's so hot, Omar's going to be throwing those fish back soon.
Exactly. And so then he says, I'm neither hot nor charming, so realistically, I will be similar to Aubrey.
I thought the same thing, Karen.
Aubrey is both hot and charming. What are you talking about, High? This is very inappropriate.
Like, Aubrey, good news. Someone said they want to play with you. Play like you. Not play with you, not Gabby and Christopher. Someone said they want to play like you. It's because you're not hot or charming. Like, it was like such a backhanded compliment to Aubrey. I did think that was funny.
Yeah. High's just trying to lower their threat level. But I mean, even the people that you're saying you're going to play like High, these are people who are threatening in Survivor regardless. So you saying like, I'm not hot, I'm not charming. Like, shut up. We see what you're doing. You're trying to throw off our draft picks here. So I think Asia made a good pick. Mm-hmm. I think High's going to do well in the game.
Yeah. Liana made a face.
Yes.
That was a very sad face.
So I also agree that I feel like there's a pretty level playing field. So I was just going to draft the people that when I listened to their interviews, I felt like I vibed with them. And I totally vibed with High. The fact that living in New Orleans, love that. Data analyst, love that. I just really felt like I wanted to be his friend. Now, I don't know if that's going to translate to Survivor. I mean, assume he was able to, you know, charm me. So I assume he'll be able to charm other people. But I don't know if they're going to necessarily have the same, you know, affection for him. Because he can be a little bit, I don't know. Like, the way that he speaks is very straightforward and direct, but not in, like, an aggressive way. But because he's a data analyst, he's just very, like,
high and dry.
Yeah, but like in a good way for me. Yeah. But I just don't know how other people are going to necessarily perceive that. That would be my only concern. But I really, really like him very much. And I would love him to do well. So Asia, very envious of you, but it's fine.
Liana was going to make the pick, but then Asia got high.
I have a question.
Liana was going to win the draft.
She picked high.
But then Asia got high.
Did we not have a moratorium on high puns?
No.
Can Rob never. Fact check a
please? I mean, yeah, no, high pun quite a few months of high if he makes it a long time.
For that reason alone, I pray he's first. But he's not my thing. But like,
pray for a grenade.
At a point, we're all going to have to just chill with the high puns. No, I mean, far be it for me to be like, go and make a pun.
Mm-hmm.
You got more?
Yeah,
high pun.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Guys, when they go low, we go high. So
exactly.
There we go.
We're out now. We're done.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Asia, an emoji for high?
Maybe the little, like the little test tubes.
Oh.
Where they go.
Okay. All right.
I'm a child. I was going to do the leaf emoji, but okay.
Yeah. I was thinking that too, but then I was like, then the joke will never die.
Little pop.
What else do we have, Asia? Come on. Yes. All right. Liana, pick number 5.
Yes. So this is tough because I felt like I had like 3 people that they were the people that I wanted and they are gone. So I'm going to go to someone who I really liked. I think she's 35, which is a great age. What Asia, what are you doing right now?
You can't have them all, Asia.
Andrea is my pick, to clarify.
I swear, this happened last time. You were after literally. Asia, and she was upset she didn't pick the person you picked.
I think Shan, I think is yes. what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that even though her tribe may be in danger early on, I think that she is going to be a physical competitor. I think that she's going to stick around. I think she'll be able to create bonds. I think that she's someone who, you know, she talks about like no drama. So I'm hoping that's good news for her. And I just felt like she was very disciplined and I vibed with her.
Great. Okay.
I want to say every single one of these picks has been in my top 7 group. And last season, the first 7 picks were all in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole first round and then Liana's double.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 10, that's amazing. Like, that's pretty unbelievable. Like, so if this might be, we might be looking at a top 5, possibly Puyo's pick. We might do a whole first round again. That was so impressive.
Mm-hmm. Good drafters. The consensus picks.
I think so.
Yeah.
Do we know what we're doing?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's keep going on Drea a little bit.
Yeah. I have an issue with Drea. Just a tiny one. Drea is just a physical person, right? Like, no. Drea is the fastest person that whoever lived. Like, I mean, like, I was reading her bio. I was like, oh my God, like the athleticism that Drea is going to have. But once
you hear that, Taryn, she runs. On,
yeah, no, she runs.
Good thing. She'll get along with the other players.
Yeah. But once she turns that switch on and they see Drea in action, I feel like literally, once the merge hits, they're like, we got to get Drea. She's going to win them all. She's going to beast it out. And I'm going to be like rooting for her to do it. But I feel like that's the target that she doesn't need. Cause I think she is probably the most like athletic person on her entire tribe. And so it's like, I mean, when does that work out for people often? Normally, people are waiting on that person to be vulnerable, you know, just like, well, we just need to get through. We're going to win a few more challenges, and then we're going to cut that person. So I'm hoping that Drea has a lot of, like, social capital in the game to insulate herself so that when that time comes, maybe she has an idol or an hourglass, you know, and she can save herself. That's all I'm saying. I would be worried about her in that aspect, but I think she's great, and I think she's very likable in her interview, and I still think it's a good pick.
Yeah, I felt pulled towards her because she reminded me of like a 35-year-old Michaela. And I can imagine her having, being able to have a better social game than Michaela had, but she's going to be the same physical threat. And it depends on how well she, you know, sets herself up so that people don't immediately think, oh, we need to get her out because I'm not beating her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Asia, could you see like some Sydney in her from Korong?
Yes, I could. Yeah.
I think that's a good high point for her. Like, you know, like if she can get the Sydney momentum going, then exactly. I mean, Sydney barely lost from my point of view. So, I think she's great.
Yeah, I really saw her as a leader also, especially in the group of six that she's in. Like, and I feel like that's probably her best path to victory of being able to like have her tribe win and then also get to the merge at numbers and sort of have sort of like whether it's like a Boston Rob or like what Coach tried to do or what Kim did, where you sort of like have your people get to the end and then pick off all the other people and then sort of like control then how your people go out of the game as opposed to other people picking you off.
Yeah, I wouldn't be usually so into someone being like a vocal leader. We saw that like that didn't go so well for someone like Abraham last season, but I do think that she's such like a stabilizing force, and I could see people kind of rallying around her, especially in a small tribe, especially when she seems very physical. I could see her kind of leading that tribe, and we think this is going to be possibly the disaster tribe, right? So they might kind of need a little bit of strength and a little bit of stability, and I think that's what she brings.
Okay. Anybody low, Andrea?
We brought it. We brought it. Everyone.
Hive mind tonight. Yes. Okay.
Everyone's pigs are getting taken. Like, oh my God.
Okay. All right. Did anything else at all, Andrea?
She's a fellow Texan, like with me and Chappelle. So great pick, Liana. I'm so happy for you.
Okay.
Very happy for you, Liana.
All right.
Why are they all so nice? Except what Karen did to me.
I did something nice for you, Shannon.
Did you?
Doesn't make sense.
I mean, we've all talked about how like the first couple picks are a little bit more clear than it were in like anyone can be anything. And that's where I'm standing with my first pick, where anyone could be anything. And I genuinely feel like I'm going to end up picking off Vibes, which is like, you know, as long as it's not first boot, I don't care.
Okay.
To be honest.
So. Can I pick an emoji? I would like to pick the weights emoji.
Weights emoji.
She's a fitness consultant.
It's a good emoji. It's a good emoji.
Very good. Okay. All right. So the wait for Puya to make the final pick of round one is over. Puya, who are you going with? What's your vibe?
Be careful, Puya.
Listen, here's the thing. I see everything, okay? I see, I've been listening to y'all, so I kind of know where everyone's going here. I've been seeing what, you know, the chat's been saying. The person I've been thinking of has not been brought up. It's caused me to be in shambles and I have the next pick. So I don't have time to think and see everyone else pick again. When I say vibes, I mean it. I'm going with probably the most regular person to end up on this show. Complete regular person. I'm going to go with my guy, Roxroy here.
No!
Oh, that's right. Why not? Is the question.
I want the pick.
He's also in my top group. This is crazy.
He was fifth on my board, and I'm telling you, it was vibes. Because like I had the top four out of my feelings. But I, you know, he seems like someone I'm going to, you know, potentially enjoy seeing. Now, this is the tribe that I think all of us are very worried about. Very worried about the tribe here, the blue tribe. What's going to happen there?
The Ika tribe,
I want to root for him. I feel like he could be very, very surprising to see. And, you know, that's really where it goes for me. I enjoyed his interview. His interview was fun, but we'll see.
Great pick. Upsettingly great pick.
Thank you.
When I watched videos, it did feel like just a normal person wandered onto the beach and like started giving an interview. And so he just seems like he could be someone who will go with the flow. I think on that tribe that is very chaotic, you know, I think Rob and Mike, you talked about he potentially could have a sec partner in Drea. So that's a good pick, Puya. And if they can work together as a team, I think that could be really powerful.
Yeah. If the goal is to keep the tribe, quote unquote, strong or whatever, and they just look physical strength, like if Drea is the leader, she's going to be preaching that, right? And so I feel like if she has to grab some people, Roxroy will not be one of the people that she grabs, right? Like he might not be her first choice, but it's definitely going to be the core group that she's trying to pick. And so that's why I feel like he's good for a while in that tribe, you know, with the like understanding that they're probably the least physical tribe, you know? And so if they're going to lose a couple, I don't think it's going to be Roxroy. And so if he can like, you know, make it to the middle of the game, you know, where the merge is happening and no one's looking at him under the radar right to the end. So I don't think it's a bad choice at all.
Yeah. Using my strategy, the pet peeve strategy, he's very high up on my board. Drivers who don't use their turn signal.
Oof. Awful.
Very, very awful.
My pet peeve is someone who drafts purely on pet peeves. Is that going to work for your head?
You know, I don't think, I think the move now, the strategic move is for me to do mean things to Shannon. And then she'll think.
Yes. Nice. Hello. I'm damaged. Like that's, it just doesn't make sense that someone would be that nice, Taryn, like just randomly. And like, I didn't even try pregame with you. And I did try pregame with Chappelle.
She did.
You knew.
Wait, hold on. Can I ask?
Sorry, what? Yeah.
Can I ask what does pre-gaming consist of?
Hey, Rob. Hey, we just had a conversation.
Yeah,
you know, as friends, it's fine.
I came in, Taryn, and I had all these compliments ready. Like, you know that you look so much like the current Bachelor. That's actually true. I can't get it out of my head. People told me. It's crazy. Look him up. It's crazy. Anyway,
you in your alliance, the Schmidty, the Schmidity,
the Schmidity.
That did not work the way I thought it would in my head. Turns out when
it would just be Chappelle.
Schmidty.
Ship from me and Chappelle from Chappelle. That's all. Look, no one pregame. Chappelle and I had a conversation where we floated being mean to the rest. It's not important.
Right.
The point is, floated. I don't even know what I was getting at. Taryn, thank you for the pick if it was done in a good way.
Pure hearted.
Agrees out. Roxroy is like going to be the dad of the tribe. So I hope that goes well. Like from an age perspective, you got a 19 and a 22-year-old on this tribe. He's a stay-at-home dad. But again, it's like he's really going to stabilize this tribe. Like I agree with Liana, with Mike and Rob, that he and Drea could be like a pair that this tribe will look to and need. So I think it's a really good pick.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing first round of picks.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on Roxroy?
No. Yeah.
Do you have an emoji for Roxroy?
What's like a regular run of the mill emoji? What would that be?
Do the Puya hug emoji.
Yeah, just the man.
Just the guy, the hug emoji, the hands up emoji. I don't know. Any either could go.
Mm-hmm.
He's signaling that he's fast walking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And that's going to be the end of round number one. All right. So six picks down. Chanel, Omar, Marianne, Hi, Drea, and Roxroy here to close out round number one.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Puya, you will kick off round number two.
All right.
The seventh pick overall.
Knowing full well that the next time I get a pick, I don't get the pick, right? I get bequeathed the pick.
You will have pick number 18. Yes.
Lovely.
As Taryn dictated.
Yeah, well, Taryn, we had decided.
Taryn, we're going to have a talk offline about what you did.
No, it was nice. Okay? Yeah. It was nice.
Okay. All right. Going off vibes. What did I feel about the rest here? Honestly, my 6, 7, 8, 9 were all kind of in the same level. So I'm just going based on feeling here. This is someone who loved the name. First of all, great name. Someone who mentioned having high EQ. I love the people that they mentioned they like and they feel like they could play like. Two good names mentioned there. I said great name, and I meant it. This one goes out to the Joe Milley gang. I'm going to go with Jenny. Jenny is my next pick here.
Okay.
Jenny's literally, like, shaking.
That's my top seven, and they were the top seven picks.
Oh, man.
That's Shannon, so unlikely.
Did you show this to Chappelle, and then he leaked it to all of us?
Oh my God. I would never betray my number one ally like that. Are you kidding me?
You would never betray the
Chappelle. If you can explain this coincidence away, Chappelle.
I mean, I wasn't privy to. Yeah, I wasn't privy to her voting list, but I was going to definitely be mean on to y'all on her behalf if necessary. And so, you know, this is just happenstance.
Okay. All right. Wait, tell us about Jenny.
I mean, okay. So here's what I liked about Jenny. Okay. You know, we've been talking about age. I don't think age is going to be a factor for Jenny. I think Jenny's going to be fine in that department. What I really liked about Jenny, Jenny mentions having a high EQ, being able to read people, understand them, see how they're feeling, being a great listener, being a leader. Check, 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 check. Love all of that. Someone who I have a feeling will not necessarily completely be like, I have to control everything. There's someone that I didn't pick who, when we talk about them, I'll mention that's why I didn't have them higher on my list. And I feel good about her. I like the tribe set up for her that she's in. I don't think she's going to be in danger. So that's where I'm at right now.
Okay. There you go.
Hooyah. Look at Asia's face.
I know.
What is it about your family that is just destroying Asia? Leon and Puglia, what are y'all doing?
You know what? You know what, though? When I said, give me fourth, Asia was like, put them together. And Asia, you hooked it up. Thank you.
See, I knew if Liana went before me, she would definitely take whoever I wanted. So
I would have. I absolutely would have. So yes, that is a correct call.
Yeah.
What I really liked in Jenny's interview was when she talked about coming into a pre-existing space with pre-existing dynamics and being able to work into that group. So that gives me confidence that even if she may not be the first person to start an alliance or something like that, that she could navigate her way into a group. And so I feel like that skill will be very valuable. I think that she has a lot of experience dealing with people, which is always great. I mean, obviously in a corporate setting versus on Survivor can be different, but being able to listen, hear people out, and then try to work with them, I think is a skill that could translate. So I'm pretty high on her as well.
She's like fun and bubbly on the surface, but then I think it's like a power player, possibly with people not seeing that coming. Puya has two really good picks, and I feel like we should leave him with someone terrible to even it out.
Oh, no.
I almost bet on it, you know?
Okay. Do you have an emoji for Jenny?
What about, like, is there, like, a businessy one, like a briefcase? What about briefcase?
We didn't show the picture of briefcase. Jenny. Here we go.
Yeah. Give me the briefcase. Okay. Creative Karen, director.
What are her pet peeves? That's what everything matters.
You have a pet peeve watch,
Karen. Arrogant people and those with a sense of entitlement. So I'm not sure necessarily if she's loving Karen tonight.
Oh, no.
Everyone's smiling on Karen.
Oh, God.
Rob double back for that one. On the block.
Okay. All right.
Poor Taryn. Someone help Taryn. Like, I feel
bad about
it.
I'm just trying to be nice and fun tonight. Yeah. Everybody's just dogging on me.
All right. Liana, pick number 8.
Yes. Okay. So, again, going vibes, someone who I just really liked their interview. I felt like they stood out to me. I'm going to go with Mariah.
Okay.
And I'm sorry.
Asia, you can only have 3 people on your team.
Asia wanted the 5 picks that have just happened.
These are literally, I had Jenny up, and I was like, okay, got to exit her out. Mariah exit her out. Okay. Literally, this is my list, but solid pick.
I will start with my concern for her, which is, you know, we know that the mom archetype has a tough time with, especially with getting votes, with feeling betrayed. That is my biggest concern for her. Otherwise, I felt like she also was very charismatic. She came across as just someone who I wanted to be around in the interviews. And for that reason, she's my second pick.
She seems great. I think this is a good pick. I can see why Asia's upset. But pick. Yeah, but I did notice something in her bio, I guess in the interview or whatever. She said she was a mix between Angelina and Toni, right? And so, like, I didn't get that kind of energy from her. Like, both of those are, like, they are gamers. You know, Toni, like, I didn't sleep for the whole time I was on The Survivor. And Angelina, you know, negotiating and all this other stuff and climbing 50-foot ladders and jumping over mountains to get idol clues and stuff like that. Like, I'm like, is Mariah bringing this to the table? Is that what we're about to get? So I'm concerned, but I like her.
The reasons that she listed for why she was like them were like, wait, what? Like, you know, the whole Toni thing, not about him making spy shacks and being mischievous or anything like that. It's like, he was upbeat, funny, light energy.
She's a mom. She's a mom. Yeah. She's very much a mom. And I think she has a mom perspective on Toni and Angelina, where it's like, they were so fun. Oh, I would love to play like Toni. He's so funny.
At least he didn't say Rob Destinino.
Yeah, I mean, that would really be...
could you imagine? Oh, my God.
Yeah. So her pet peeve is when someone has a big old snuffle up, I guess, sneeze, and doesn't cover their nose. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh,
now, did Snuffleupagus sneeze a lot? I don't remember.
I'd interpret it as just like a very loud sneeze, like a dad sneeze is what I pictured. You know, one of those that the whole room's on notice when it goes down?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I pictured.
He's got a big nose. So I think like the length of the sneeze, because it has to come through the trunk, I
assume. Well, yeah, like is a Winnie the Pooh character, right? Which one am I thinking of?
No, but see, but Snuffy had a kid too, you know, so it was a very parental figure right there. So it could be a dad sneeze. Snuffleupagus did have a partner. But I think that, Mariah is, she seems on ice. And so I'm hoping that she's able to use that to get her far in the game. Yeah. I just hope that she has the killer instinct, you know, like at the end, like do the thing. If you're going to be Toni, you know, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, she just kind of has those vibes of like Suri, where I feel like people may feel comfortable with her and underestimate her, kind of like, you know, we may underestimate her, but she could be very strategic. She could be someone that we don't see coming. And I think that she could be someone that people find very comfortable to talk to. I just worry that it could be one of those situations where people are like, let's keep the tribe strong if she finds herself getting out early. So we'll see.
Okay. Yeah. I hope her tribe seemed really strong of the, of the ones, which is why I'm hoping that she'll be protected in the pre-merge. But yeah, I totally see what you mean, Asia.
And Mariah was the one who was meant to be on the last season, but then had to wait for the next trip out.
I think that was speculation. Yeah.
Speculation. Okay.
I think that so, because Tiffany took somebody's spot, but I don't think that, I don't think that Mariah has said that it was her spot.
Okay. So if we pretend that that was true, I would say that's a good thing because then you had a couple of weeks to maybe not like, you know, all that like nervous energy kind of goes away. You get prepared, you get centered, then you're ready to go. I think that's a good thing. Mariah was up there for me. I do feel like I could have picked her over Jenny. I really do think I could have gone either way there. I like her. I look forward to hopefully rooting for her. Hopefully, you know, we see more of her.
Okay.
I think that tribe, like Jonathan and Lindsay obviously seem really physical. If that's the way it's going to go, they could see as the mom type, they could see that as not working. She could be in trouble. But then we're hoping kind of, you know, Omar, Marianne, people we've already drafted take hold. And it's more the strategy and the vibes, right? So then she'll be okay. So I think it could go either way. Like, I think there probably is grenade potential just based on like the precedent of Survivor and how we see kind of like the mom type figure. But I think, you know, she came across really, really well in her interview. I would hope that that is not true.
Okay. Liana, do you have an emoji for Mariah?
Ooh, okay. Let me think about it. Well, she did describe herself as spicy. We could go with a pepper.
Ooh.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
All right. I also saw in the chat that Recco said that Snuffleupagus did sneeze a lot. Okay.
Thank God we know.
God, I just don't want to get like 500 tweets tomorrow about like, actually.
The Sesame Street stand.
You want to tweet Sesame Street lore, I'm down.
Podcasting is so hard. Like the fact that that's something that we would have to think about. My God.
Okay. Asia has watched pick after pick after pick go by. But now here she is ready to go with pick number 9.
Yes, I am here and I am pretty far down my list, but I am excited to pick this person and I will explain why. So I'm picking Swati.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Swati.
Mm-hmm.
So she's 19. She's an Ivy League student. She also enlisted in the Army National Guard. She seems like a very accomplished young person, right? Like, I know that people may think her age may play a factor in how she's able to acclimate. But I feel like she's lived a lot. Like, she got into every college that she applied to. I think she's been very goal oriented up to this point, including Survivor, because she includes all things Survivor as like what her hobbies. So I feel like knowing the game and then being, I guess the youngest person on the chart, the youngest person out there, that she will naturally be underestimated. And so I think that could work in her favor. So I'm excited about Swati.
Okay. Shannon, all right, you said that you really want to shy away from the younger players this season. Of course, Swati is 19.
My issue is that she seems so mature. She seems to, I agree, like so much life experience. But I felt that way about people last season, and it was true of them. Mm-hmm. And still someone like Liana, who was a very accomplished young woman, was like overawed by Shan. Like, I felt her age creep in. But I will say that she's my top 10. And 9 of my top 10 picks have been the first 9 picks. So if Chappelle takes my 10th pick, or it made my top 10, I feel like that's just so statistically improbable. Anyway, we'll see. Mm-hmm. But I definitely understand the pick. I think that she's so impressive. She came from basic training like yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just seems very accomplished. It's just the age thing for me. Otherwise, I think she would have been top group, but top 10 still for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see her play in like 5 years. And that was exactly my same issue, Shannon, was that I loved everything about her. I felt like her story was really interesting. The fact that she just came from the basic training to this, I mean, she'll be fine out there. Yeah. But the fact that she was 19 and the fact that she put Elon Musk as your hero. That's a pet peeve. Okay. He's a jerk. So, like, choices. But
everyone has their weaknesses.
Exactly.
It's, to the it's bin.
Fine. You know, you get just taken in by the charm of the oligarchs. I get it. So, anyway, that was, like, that's the only thing really negative I have to
Maybe
say about
Maybe she loves
her.
Teslas.
Okay.
You're right.
Like, with the recording noise, that is really, she... like, yes, this is what's doing it for me.
Maybe that should be her emoji, some sort of...
Tesla.
Like rocket, I don't know.
Rocket.
So overall, I mean, I feel like she could do well. It's just, you know, like Shan mentioned, the age.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
straight out of the training for the Army National Guard, I feel like is a rough place to be. Like, has she ever even really been out in the real world out of like schooling and training? Like, it doesn't seem like it. And that could be a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel like basic training is the real world. Like, have I been as much in the real world as her? Like, she just went to the army. That's a lot.
It's certainly a lot. I just think it's different, right? But we'll see.
Yeah. I feel like, especially, you know, you're in an environment that's so structured and, you know, you're doing all these things, you're following through these specific patterns, and then you're thrown into a game where there's no pattern. There's like barely any structure. And you know, has she had enough time to decompress before getting into that environment worries me, but more than anything, the age has definitely put some worry for me. But everything else, and like obviously this tribe being the blue tribe, but I feel like someone who's going to be physically more than capable in the early days of the game, no problem there. And I did like her, you know, asked about the survivors. Who do you like in yourself, or who do you think you could play like? A mix between Victoria Beymonde and Chaos Cast was not on my... I never thought I would hear someone say those two in a combination platter. Did not expect that. But then, you know, explains it. And I was like, okay, we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited to see Swati play, but I am worried for Swati's, like, long-term game.
It's also like, can she win? Can a young person win Survivor? Like, that is, was the question of last season. How much was on Xander's age? How much was he not being taken seriously? How much was on what he was doing? And something I've spoken about with Evie since, because we talked about a young player on Australian Survivor in the recap, and Evie seemed to think that there was stuff around, like, Xander tried to come across as older, and maybe if he'd leaned into it a little more. Like, there's probably things there, but it's absolutely an uphill battle. So, like, I don't see first boot potential. I don't see grenade potential. And I think she's really strong, and she came from the army yesterday. But I just don't know if, like, is she an auto lose before she even hits the beach? That's the question for me on all young people, especially people who are not even 20. Like, she's a teenager. True. So we'll see.
Okay. Anything else on Swathi?
Her emoji should be, like, an army emoji, right?
Not a yeah. What is it? An army emoji?
Is there an arm emoji? Yeah.
Oh, that's very army. Yeah.
No. I don't like that.
Yeah. Or books, the books.
Yeah, the books. Because Swati's from the Ivy League school, right?
Harvard. School? Yeah. Harvard.
Right? Harvard. Okay.
I can go
yeah.
past the arm, though. Because
Okay. All right, Asia, you have the final call. What's the emoji?
We'll go with the books.
The books. Okay. The books. All right. All right. Well, the book is halfway done because 9 picks are in. Chappelle, you have the 10th pick and the opportunity to send Shannon into orbit if you pick the person that was left in her top 10.
Okay. Well, just for you, Shannon.
That's what really sold the top 10. Please don't do it.
Just for you, Shannon. I'm going to pick somebody who mentioned Shannon in their preseason interviews. This person is a fan of Rob Has a Podcast. They are a super duper fan of Survivor. Reminds me of one of the nicest Survivor players that people just universally say, all around guy, like great guy, a student of the game. Seems like he's going to have a mind for strategy. I think I'm going to pick Zach here.
That's my first 10 picks. That's so statistically improbable. Can someone please calculate the odds of that? Chappelle, Alliance over.
We get War Dog on the phone.
Secondly, you denied me the opportunity to go full Bloomberg, and I've been wanting to make that pun for like.
You never go full Bloomberg, Shannon.
Let me be very clear.
Remember
Shannon.
How that went last season?
You yeah. had the opportunity to pick this person who name dropped you first, and you did not.
Well, so on my second pick, you're 22.
I could not let you do it. I'm sorry. I am taking Zach here.
The knife out of Shannon's back.
Well, Karen, you put it in there. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. This is Karen's
she just
fault.
Thought I did, but it was really you all along.
Zagatha all along.
Okay.
Yes. Well, all right, I'm here.
You leaked my list?
Maybe. You know.
Is that what you texted me earlier?
Yeah. Okay. You know the
all right, let's let's talk about Zach. Zach Wurtenberger.
Wurtenberger. Yes, Zach, like I said, Zach is a fan. And like we know we're always worried about the fans going out there and just fanboying and just, you know, like doing too much. But I just don't get that energy from Zach. People probably wouldn't have gotten that energy from Adam Klein either, but he did kind of go there in moments. But I think if Zach is able to reel it in, then I think he'll do fine. I think on his tribe, like I said, I do foresee some like, you know, of competition issues coming up with that tribe, but I don't think Zach's going to be the first one to go. And I think if you have a couple people who are physically strong or like linking up, you definitely want to have somebody who has a mind for the game. And I would pick Zach. And they seem very nice. And also, like I said, I would like to be rooting for this person. I want to pick people that I feel good about rooting for. And Zach is the person for me.
Okay.
Taryn, why did you do this to me? Because it's my fault now. Because it's on me. And I have to live with that. And I just...
Wouldn't you rather write your own story?
No. We've actually had this conversation before.
I know.
About going out by an idol.
Okay.
I think very highly of Shannon. And so for Zach to name drop Shannon, how could I not pick Zach? What are you talking about? It was right there.
That moment meant so much to me. And any nice person would let me have him as a pick to just credit the moment. Like, it really meant a lot to me. And anyone I feel would just leave that to me.
Taryn literally gave you the second pick.
But I really, really wanted to mind. Okay, yeah. So I'm talking about Zach now. So yeah. Here's the thing. He's young also.
And yeah. that does worry me. I think his upside definitely is Adam Klein. He talks about wanting to play like Adam Klein, but Adam was 25 when he played. And I know it's only 3 years of difference, but I think it makes a big difference it's sort of what Taryn was alluding to, which is, have you been in the real world, right? Because he is a student, I believe still a student or coming off of being a student. And I just feel like another year or two would be super mm-hmm. beneficial because, you know, when he talks about what he think is going to give him the most benefit in the game, he talks about speech and debate. Look, I did speech and debate. Granted, I've never played Survivor, but I don't think that that's going to be particularly useful to you. Like mm-hmm. the speech and debate kids. I cannot imagine playing.
Wow.
But like, because there's structure to it, right? It's like when people talk about their corporate job, being a therapist, for example, like with Tori, like that is a transaction that you're going in with a very specific thing. Speech and debate is similar to that, right? You go in with like, okay, this is my goal. This is what I'm trying to do. It's a very structured framework. Everybody knows why they're there. And I feel like using that same approach on Survivor might not translate. He is also on the blue tribe, which makes me nervous because, you know, they're the ones that may struggle a little bit in challenges. So that's really my concern for him. On the plus side, I do think that he's got Adam Klein upside. I think that he knows a lot about the game. He's obviously very passionate about it. He is charismatic. And so I think that that could translate as well. He clearly, you know, knows what he's talking about. So I am cautiously optimistic about him, but, you know, because of some of the red flags that I mentioned, I would not have had him as high maybe as Chappelle.
Okay. Well said, Leanna.
I think the speech and debate thing really did. You're like, you got me with that one. I was like, oh gosh, she's right. Cause the speech and debate kids I know aren't going to win Survivor, but hear me out. It wasn't the Adam Klein thing that drew my attention to the way he said he wanted to play his game. It was Todd Herzog, who also won the game at, I believe, 22 years old. So I'm thinking if you can pull a Todd, then you're good. You know, Adam upside is cool, but a Todd upside for a 22-year-old, I think that's really, really good. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I think everything Leanna said makes it fair that he dropped to 10th. Like, that's for me why he dropped beyond the first group. But I think there's enough upside there that he's still kind of in that, like, around the halfway point, which is where he is. But, yeah, the age thing, look, we've all been burnt. Like, I feel like we all came in a little bit on the age being really straying away, considering, you know, two of them made the merge. And anyway, we're burnt on it. There's so much to like about Zach, obviously. I should have gone for Bloomberg. I should have taken him at the second pick. But he is super smart guy. Seems lovely. Not just because he shouted me out, but I appreciate it. He's a big, big fan. My issue was like, it wasn't just from his interview. I think Daniel was like, there's a Ryan Ulrich type already about him.
Yep.
That's like, and they haven't even met yet. Maybe he can, because I think there's like a depth to touch with him. I think that maybe he can kind of change those perceptions, but like the book's kind of already being written about him and his archetype and like the super fan game body archetype before they've even met him. So that to me is a bit of a red flag, but yes, I would have loved him as a pick and Chappelle aligns with.
Okay. I think he's a high variance pick. 10th makes the world of sense for him, given where we're at. Could be great, could be bad. Again, you're a fan of the game. I hope you do well.
Chappelle, what's the emoji?
Give me the bell emoji, Rob.
The bell.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Okay.
That's very good. That's sweet.
All right. How about?
I want to leave.
For Shannon. The 11th, the 11th pick. She had a top 10. They've all been taken.
Yeah. And now I'm lost. But this next person, like, I think could stay for a long time. But do I think that they can win? I can't imagine that this is the cast that they win with as well, because it feels like a very strategic cast, not a super physical cast, but this person's so physical. I'm actually... Okay, give me Lindsay.
Lindsay. Lindsay!
In terms of Renee, there's probably some concerns there, because just based on the tribe, if we're thinking that kind of Omar and Marianne will be at the center of it, maybe they don't want to go with Jonathan and Lindsay. I feel like you and Mike just like set out a blueprint that we've all taken as fact. Like, these are the three pairs and like Marianne and Omar are in control. I don't think that she'll be first out. And we also think that this is going to be a very strong tribe. So she should have time to work it out. She does say she's an intense personality. Don't love that. Not feeling great about this pick immediately. But I think that maybe if she kind of if everyone kind of falls apart without her and there's a lot of like colorful personalities, maybe they kind of all go out on their own accord and she's just like a physical person who can win a lot of challenges, wins fire, wins the game. I don't know. I hate you, Chappelle, right now. I really do.
Okay. Come on. It's Lindsay's time, Shannon.
Yeah. Okay. Well, give her a weight emoji because I feel like we get the vibe.
Another one?
Definitely. Oh, did we already have a weight?
That's yeah, Drea has the weight emoji.
Yes. Wow. Okay. Well, thanks, give her. Give
your
her
emoji boy, pick. Shannon, did your top 10 emojis already get picked?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't what other physical emoji is there? We've taken the fast walking person.
The arm flex. Is still available.
Yeah, the arm. Give her the arm. Okay. I really. Okay. We'll give her the arm. Okay. I'm so glad that was left to me. The arm. She's strong.
Rob, can you put the picture on the screen?
Oh, sorry. Here we go. Here is Lindsay.
Lindsay. Yeah.
He's okay. Not gonna win. This is not
so, Shannon, please. I think the thing that stood out to me the most about Lindsay's bio, the reason why I didn't pick Lindsay is because she said, my personality screams Survivor. Well, if we're playing Survivor, you're like, well, that person's going to win. So you're going to want to target them. And I think you have to be able to fly under the radar at some point or you will get picked off. And I think that is the thing. Lindsay looks like they're going to be a physical asset to the tribe. She seems really nice. But if you can't turn it down, then you will not win the game unless you can just win out, you know, and which I'm not denying that she can't because she looks like she got it. But at the same time, you don't want that big target put on your back just because of your, you know, your natural personality is a little intense for everybody else. So I agree with Shannon that, you know, there are some red flags there, but I think Lindsay's going to do okay.
She's on a really strong tribe, which I like that for her. She's 31. I like that as well. I like the fact that, you know, she the comparison to Stephanie LaGrossa, I think, is very spot on. And I very much see that. And I think that will, if she can play that way, I actually think that she'll do fine. I think that she'll be able to make it deep. I think the question is, you know, is she going to be able to be cutthroat in a way that people will respect is one question that I have for her. But ultimately, I actually feel good about her. I think she'll definitely make post-merge, I imagine. And then it's kind of a matter of where is she going to go from there. But I feel optimistic about her chances.
Yeah, my hesitation with Lindsay was all about her three words to describe herself. Loud, goes on to explain that she's the loud friend and then says that she has an intense personality. So, you know, that could easily rub people the wrong way upon first meeting. Yeah.
Maybe she knows. Not, you know, as long as she knows, then maybe she'll be like, don't be that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, her bio is a lot of words. in fact, her three words to describe herself was definitely a lot more than three words. Describes why she picked each word in it after she did it. And it's, she's easily the longest bio I have to, I would imagine, which is definitely a lot. And I think that, you know, she talks about, you know, she's a dietitian. She started her own business. You know, that's great. She has a lot of drive. Does she have a lot of experience like working as a team and not like being her own boss? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's a little more valuable on a game like Survivor than like the experience of like, oh, I've started my own thing.
Yeah, Taryn, it's interesting you bring up long bios because just in recent memory in Big Brother, I believe the two players with the longest bios in recent memory were Kyland, Big Brother 23.
Yep.
And Todrick Hall, Celebrity Big Brother.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Both of whom were effective.
Made it far.
Yeah, she'll go deep in the game.
Neither of which had great jury potential. Right. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember that Big Brother draft. I think people correctly identified that Kyland was long-winded. And, you know, and that's Kyland's personality. And that's just something that people had to deal with in the house. But it was draining for people in the house. And so, you know, you get a person who is admittedly loud, who her pet peeve is quiet talkers on Survivor, a game where you have to whisper to people. Mm-hmm. Like, okay,
it's good.
The math ain't math.
Tribals. We won't have to subtitle them. We'll know what's going on.
You're right.
Maybe for the 26-day format, though, that's not so bad. Yeah. Right. Like, I wonder if the switch between the long game that is Big Brother and something like Survivor actually could be okay, where you kind of need that loud voice to cut through the noise. But yeah, I think she's going to struggle actually getting the votes at the end, potentially.
Okay. Yeah. intense personality gets mentioned, and then the description for this, you know, words to describe yourself. I'm a good person, but I definitely do not mesh with everyone. Don't love that, but at least you recognize it. So it's a negative, but with a positive that you might recognize it. That's good. And then the last thing for me that I didn't agree with, which Survivor past Survivor player will you play the game most like? Lauren Beck. I do not see this comparison for her at all. I don't think she can play a Lauren Beck game. But then to give her one more positive before we move on here, at the end of Why Do You Believe You Can Be Soul Survivor, after you get past the six lines, the last sentence, the thing that's mentioned in here is the social game dictates if you get voted out. The quality I care for is more social game than physical, which I think we're all looking at it. You got the physical. Do you have the social? This was mentioned in the Lauren Beck thing, not in the last paragraph. I am sorry. But no, high variance. Because I think if her tribe goes to tribal, I could see her being like, let's get her out before the merge happens kind of situation, potentially. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Okay. If she can be like Lauren Beck, that would be the best case scenario, I think. Like, I mean, obviously, Lauren played an amazing game and almost won and does have a big personality, but knew kind of how to wield it and not just kind of let it run all over everything and then have people target her. So if she's aware, like, you can say you have an intense personality and that's not good, but the fact that you're saying it for me is like the best part of that. At least you know. So if you can kind of take that Lauren Beck thing and really make it strategic, I feel better about it.
Okay. Anything else on Lindsay? Let's move on to Taryn for the final pick of round two.
Okay. If I'm being honest, I have no idea.
That sounds about right for this part of the draft, for sure.
Let's see here. I've got a few options that I'm considering. I have to pick two as well, which is even more difficult. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and pick Lydia.
Lydia.
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's, I like that pick, Taryn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like her.
Solid.
All right.
Honestly, that's all that needs to be said.
What do you like?
You know, she doesn't like when people waste her time. So I'm not going to waste anybody's time by talking too much here. She doesn't like vacuum cleaners, which, you know, I think that's not great. But, you know, the noise is annoying. I can you know, empathize there.
Sure.
People chase her with a vacuum cleaner. I feel like this is something that I feel like she encourages people to play around and joke with vacuum cleaners.
I'm going to say she encourages people to chase them with a vacuum cleaner by saying she's scared of them.
Yeah, just think about, exactly. Like somebody's going to be like chasing her around with like a chicken or something. She's going to be like, and they're going to be like, oh, Lydia is so fun. Those undead chickens, she's going to be like, like, what's wrong with undead chickens? Nothing. I just don't want them near me.
Okay. How about for everybody else? How are we feeling about Lydia?
I want to know more about her hero being Kristen Wiig. Like, don't get me wrong, Kristen Wiig is hilarious, but I just didn't know that she was like hero status for people. So I wonder where that's coming from.
Right.
I couldn't get past the Kevin Bacon answer. So,
look. I agree with both of y'all. I was thinking the same thing. Like, Kevin Bacon.
He just wants that six degrees of separation.
That's right. Yeah, wants to get the center there.
So here's what jumps out to me about Lydia, because I was between Zach and Lydia for my last pick, but I think what it was, and they're the same age and stuff like that, so I was really weighing the options there, but I just had to, like, again, twist that knife into Shannon. But I think the issue with Lydia for me is that Lydia is describing a player that I know does well in Survivor. She's like, I'm a comedy writer. I'm thinking all the funny people, Hannah Shapiro, Courtney Yates, you know, all the people who you just know are like the commentary person of the season. They're making the jokes and stuff like that. She likes Kristen Wiig. So I'm thinking that's the person that she is. She's going to be like a confessional queen. Like, she's going to be taking us far into the game. Then she's probably going to get about third place, you know, like, and that's typically where that person lands.
Relatable.
But then she, Rob, exactly. And so, but the thing is,
They said, who will you play the game most like? And they say Tom Westman. Now, hold on. That's a lot to carry there because you're playing like Tom Westman and Katie Gallagher at the same time. This is interesting. And so it's like you're Katie Gallagher trying to play a Tom Westman game. And so for me, I was like, there's some dissonance there to where I was like, I really don't know if you can do that. And I think she just said because he was honest. But like, you know, honesty is not a great, you know, quality in Survivor. You got to be able to lie. And Tom Westman did lie. And so, yeah, I'm thinking that for me, that's where Lydia lost me. I was just kind of trying to figure out what kind of player she would be. You know, also the fact that she's 22 years old didn't really help. And so I think I would have picked Lydia next. So, you know, I think it's a good pick.
Okay.
She's on a tribe that's a lot of people that are much older than her. Again, it's that 7-year age gap to the next couple of people. I think she came across like as very social. She wants to be like, she came across as very kind, very much a soft approach. It made me worry that there wouldn't be as much of the killer instinct or that she might get taken advantage of because, again, with the age and the fact that she kind of seemed, I mean, she seemed too nice, possibly, which might be a good thing. But I still think that she's a pretty good pick, especially for this point in the draft. But those, I think, are the question marks everyone has.
Yeah, she could hit endgame for sure. I could see that. I think Lydia is also someone we've been seeing in the previews, which I like at this stage of the draft for, you know, your grenade protection service. This is a good pick for that, too. I feel like Lydia is someone who, again, we're in a section now where we're going to start talking about people that probably have zero hope. Lydia is still someone who... there's no zero hope. I'm not shutting the door on Lydia doing well in this game at all. But given everything we've seen, we don't necessarily know exactly where Lydia could go. So,
okay. What's the emoji, Taryn? The vacuum?
I mean, they're vacuum.
Is
there
a vacuum emoji?
If there's a vacuum,
there's a does anybody ever use
so
it?
Mean.
Yeah.
That feels sexist. It's just it feels sexist. It's not sexist, but it feels sexist. I don't think there's... is there a vacuum emoji?
Not yet.
Don't use her trauma against her. Like, she just... I hate of them. Okay, don't make her.
All right, then what's your emoji, Taryn?
Bacon? Well, she wants... Bacon
is roller skating.
Bacon is amazing.
Bacon?
Mm-hmm. I hope she's not a vegetarian.
I love bacon.
We do love bacon.
She's a vegetarian, she wouldn't like Kevin Bacon so much.
That's fair.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
We are on to round number three. Six picks are left. And maybe the person that I may make my winner pick is still on the board.
No way.
What?
So I think there's some gold still out there.
Nice.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. Taryn, number 13 overall. The pick is yours. Who's rounding out your team?
Trying to figure out who I want to round the team out with is a tricky one. I've got three options I'm looking at. They're all very different. I think I'll go with Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Yeah. It's a boring pick.
This is your Misha pick.
This is the Misha pick. This is the look. If there's going to be a boring winner, it's probably going to be Jonathan. I feel like, or at least that's probably his best case scenario. He's very physically a standout. I think that this is a cast that where I think Jonathan will really stand out physically as like the biggest dude here. And I think that could be dangerous for him. But at the same time, I think by the time it is dangerous for him, like other people start winning competitions. Survivor really isn't about pure strength, especially when they get to the merge. And so if he can get there and he starts losing a bunch of competitions, I feel like that's great. And if he can just be like a solid presence, just sitting in there, getting to the end, I feel like that would be sort of his ideal scenario. So that's Jonathan. He also, his pet peeve is wearing shirts, so I feel like he's very well suited to play Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not well suited. Because he hates shirts. Okay, don't worry about it.
I know, Shannon, that was amazing.
Without suit.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
There he is. Jonathan. Okay. All right. Jonathan falls to pick number 13. Did anybody have him lower than 13?
Who knows anymore? Everything's exactly out the window. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think this was the first person Asia didn't wince.
Needed both of the first two rounds.
Yeah, I was perfectly fine not taking Jonathan. I don't know. It was mainly the podcast version of like hearing him talk that I just wasn't, I could see him being maybe a little abrasive, not easy to get along with. But I mean, he could totally be different than that, but I just wasn't vibing with him.
I mean, this is usually a character type that I would want to draft. Big, strong guy, can win a lot of the challenges, can win fire. Before the last jury kind of push back on this mentality, the kind of like big, strong game that juries might want to reward. But I still felt like you kind of need to cushion that with something, you know, like it felt very one note. It was very like Aussie, 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 like oi, oi, oi.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I want a little bit more diversity to that play style. Just a bit, like give me the 10%. Just felt like 100% on that character type.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very much like I feel like I had to pick him as the third pick, but I would not have picked him any earlier than that. So I'm not super high on his chances here, but, you know, it, just archetype wise and age wise and everything, it's like, what are you going to do?
I think he's on a strong tribe. I think he will be a provider. I mean, he talks about spear fishing like every day if they get the spear fishing equipment. So I think that will be beneficial. I don't know. I also like Asia. I just didn't 100% like vibe with him. But that being said, his picture with the arms out, it's ridiculous. And I love it. Yeah.
Who wants a hug? We're giving up hugs. Like,
hug emoji.
Where's my hug?
Where's my hug?
Okay. Is that his emoji?
Please don't. Yeah. Please don't do it.
No,
please.
The shirt.
Don't my emoji, please. I beg. It's my one ask.
Yeah, give him the shirt emoji, Terry.
Is there a shirt? What's the shirt?
It's just a t-shirt.
Isn't it a pink shirt?
Yeah, give him the shirt.
Okay.
Yeah, give him a t-shirt.
All right. Anything else on Jonathan? All right.
No.
Shannon, let's come back to you. Okay. So much excitement around your second pick.
Yeah. Good.
What do you have up your sleeve for the third pick?
I don't even care about the draft anymore because it's gone so poorly. I just want to pick Rob's winner pick. Like, yeah. What? How? Like, who?
That's not 100% official yet.
Oh, well, it has to be.
I have a guess.
Okay. Okay.
Look, I'm going to spend the rest of my life regretting that I took pick 11 when I had a strong top 10. But who would think all 10? Anyway, we've been there. I think I'm really between a couple of people. I think I'll go with Romeo.
Yeah. That's my pick. Can't believe Romeo fell to 14.
Wow. Right, because that was actually what I was trying to guess. Okay. But Romeo, I feel like there is grenade potential, especially in small tribes. I feel like maybe he could be seen as like weaker, but good age. Mm-hmm. The way that we like look at these humans, we just like reduce them down to like their stats. But like a really good interview, I thought. Super likable, big fan. I think he's a high variance pick. Like yeah. I think I could see, mm-hmm. There are other picks I could have done that would have been more like, you're probably not going to win, but you probably have a little bit of time. I could see it both ways for Romeo, but I think he could win. Like, I think he has win potential. And at this point in the draft, that's what I want to go with. So I've gone with it.
Yeah. I feel like the strategy is you can't be afraid of the grenade.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, I like the pick. I heavily considered Romeo as well. The reason I didn't go with Romeo, there's one thing I really was worried about, which is that
what's his pet peeves?
His pet peeves were actually pretty good.
Slow people, Taryn.
I know it was.
Oh my god!
But Something that I'm very much not a fan of, which is that he hates being wrong. And I feel like that is a very dangerous quality to have. If it's like, if that is like really like something that you are like saying about yourself, like what is anything I could say about myself? I really hate losing and being wrong.
Why the personal attack? Like why? Because I spent 2 hours be like talking about how I feel I've been wrong about my draft pick, and now you're saying the worst quality. I agree, though. No, I totally agree. It's horrible.
I'm concerned that that could lead to some bad spots, like arguments, like if they lose a challenge, is he going to be tilted? Like if things don't go his way, how is that going to work? Those are things I'm worried about.
Yeah, I will say as we entered round three, I already had it prepared. I was going to say, call me Juliet because I'm picking Romeo.
Picks we didn't get.
Yeah.
The pre-written bits, the Rob move.
Mm-hmm. You got to.
But yeah. So, I mean, I think that one of my concerns, yes, not liking to be wrong. But then the other thing where he said he always finds a way to get what he wants. And so that concerns me because he may not get what he wants. And we don't know much about him. So I just don't know, you know, people that if they don't get what they want, they might react negatively or they're not used to that. So it's an unfamiliar feeling. And so they may handle it in a way that they've never seen before. So, you know, I'm just concerned about him entering this environment and knowing how to navigate, you know, as he does his normal life, because it's not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unless you dominate the game and you face very little adversity, like a big part of, I think, winning Survivor is knowing how to roll with the punches. And like, that's something that I think we've got to see from Romeo if he's going to do well.
But is that like a grenade issue? Like, is that going to be a problem early on? I don't think so.
No.
He just needs to play the perfect game with nothing ever going wrong. And then he won and it's done.
Mm-hmm. There it is. So,
yeah.
Call yourself Juliet.
I feel a bit like a broken record talking about the Ica tribe going to tribal a lot, but I do have that concern, obviously. And I think that Romeo, even, you know, he like says that is one of the smaller players out there. And that makes me nervous for him. So I guess that's really where my concern is that if Romeo can really get sort of a little bit of momentum, I think then it could go well, but I'm nervous about that being cut early.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, from a grenade perspective, Ica was like a problem tribe to even go with. And I am definitely more terrified of the grenade than even Lydia is at vacuum.
I will say tribe doesn't go to tribal first, I think everyone's going to be in a shocker of state, given how much we've talked about, we think that's going to be the case. So
is there a reason, like, why is Ica going to tribal?
They're just a smaller tribe, you know, like with Romeo and Swati on the same tribe. And then the only like really physical person they have is Drea.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, aside from that, everybody seems like they're like going to be great personalities or even strategic. But I mean, the first episode last season, two tribes went to tribal council. So it's kind of like the odds that the smaller tribe wins this is just, it's slim, you know? And so I think that's what the real concern is. If there was only one tribe going, you know, then I think you could probably say maybe it won't be them. But with the chances that there's 2 out of 3 chances it's going to be them, I can really see it happening.
If it's the same format.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm just saying in general, but we don't know which one's going to go first, you know, so who knows?
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else on Romeo?
Yeah, I'll say this. Romeo G. I think Romeo could do, you know, we've mentioned, or they mentioned a few times, like Ryan Ulrich in all of these like interviews and stuff. And I think this is the person who probably would benefit the most from that game. You know, being a smaller person on a tribe that's probably less physical and being able to kind of like latch on to somebody who is and be their second in command, like the Ryan and Devin Pinto thing. And then maybe if a swap happens to get a cross tribal alliance thing going, but he's going to have to move. And then once he gets to the end, he can't have the same issue that Ryan Ulrich did too, because Ryan Ulrich didn't like to be wrong either. And it was very off-putting in the final tribal council. So that's my concern for Romeo.
Yeah. My theory on Romeo was that I kind of saw him like attaching himself to a player that was going to be more high profile, like Drea, and then in the same style of an Erica, where in a game that is moving so fast, people are looking at big targets, that Romeo is somebody who knows the show very well, I think could be somebody who can maneuver in the post-merge game. If he can survive the first couple of votes and put himself in a good position where he's not at the bottom of that pecking order, then I think he could be somebody to watch out for. I really like his background too, as a big fan, as a pageant coach also. I feel like he's somebody, I like his age also. So I'm higher on Romeo than the panel, but we'll see.
Give him the crown emoji, manifest it, because he's a pageant coach. And also,
okay,
he's
gonna all right, there we go. Romeo. All right, Chappelle.
Okay.
Here we go. Pick number three for you.
Yeah, my last pick. And I'm concerned because, you know, like these people are very good at their jobs, the panel. And so I feel like if this is the last group of people, then the grenade possibility is a lot higher here. And so I know that Taryn says the strategy is to, you know, not be afraid of the grenade. And that paid off for Taryn. That will not pay off for me. I'm going to run from who I think will go home first on their tribe. And so, but with that logic, I am going to pick Mike.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about Mike. Mike is Mike Turner, okay? 58-year-old from Hoboken, New Jersey. Chappelle, tell us about Mike Turner.
So the thing that really had me like just weary of picking Mike is that Mike is an older guy, of course, and you know, like sometimes those people get really in like the like alpha mode to where they have to be in charge, and then it's kind of off-putting. And so I was like, okay, Mike's a firefighter, he might be a little intense. He did say he was loud and fair, but like fair means like you're kind of like passing judgment on people. Like you really want to lay low if you're a big guy. You want to just be like a quiet challenge like assistant, right? Like you want to just be somebody we can lean on to do the hard stuff, and we're not like worried about you bossing everybody around. So I am concerned, but I looked at the Vati tribe and said maybe they won't lose the first challenge. And so I'm like, Mike, listen, if you are going home first, it's your fault because you let them lose this challenge. You need to step it up. If you're listening to this, I hope you stepped it up, because if you are the gray, it's all on you. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot let this tribe go to tribal council if you're going to be bossy. And I just got bossy vibes from them. I don't think this type of player wins Survivor anymore. You know, the person who was just like, I'm in control, I'm telling everybody what to do. I mean, it just doesn't play well a lot of times. Now, he did talk about his kids and that he's a father and stuff like that, but you can't father grown folk on this show. You know, like people don't like that. And so I'm hoping, my fingers are crossed, that, you know, we just challenge beast it out for a couple rounds and I don't have to worry about being the grenade. Hopefully Mike does well, but, you know, just based off of, you know, history, I'm nervous, y'all. I'm nervous.
Okay.
Yeah. I like Mike. I think he's cool, especially like, you know, listening to his interview, like he sounds like he's easy to get along with. Like he's and he has a look to him that would sort of like, you know, make you think that he might be intimidating. He's a retired firefighter, but he's actually just like seemingly a lot more open and sensitive than you would expect. And I think that dichotomy will play really well, because it, you know, it that's how, you know, it usually works. So I like that. He's a big fan of the show. He hates it when people rip open cereal boxes and leave them open. That's great. It's a terrible thing that people sometimes do. Is that terrible or that people do it?
I've never thought about that in my lifetime.
If you don't reseal it, it gets...
Are you not closing cereal boxes, Shannon? Because...
Mm-hmm. I don't eat cereal.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the problem, Shannon.
Wow.
I don't eat breakfast.
Shannon. It's the most important meal of the day.
Yeah, I know. It really is. Scientifically
speaking. Where do you fit your yogurt in?
I have yogurt for dinner. No, I don't eat yogurt a lot either.
Oh. Okay.
Saren's not picking me.
I think two concerns. They're very superficial. He might be the oldest on the cast. He's very he's definitely up there.
Yeah.
I believe the last season they saw was Winners at War. Am I right about that?
That is correct.
So they might be afraid of Tony.
Yeah, the Tony is probably not going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought about that as well. I just don't think, you know, like you got to get him. I don't think you have to get him first, you know? And Tony is able to downplay his threat level on his third time playing. And I even argue on the first time he played, he was really able to throw us, you know, be under the radar for a while. And so I'm hoping that Mike can at least do that so that I don't get grenaded out. But do I think that Mike has the ability to win this game? Maybe it's just gonna, he's gonna have to be more strategic than he's coming off, because he's just coming off like a personality and a muscle. And I need him to kind of, you know, show that once he, if he's sitting next to one of these 22-year-olds, that they're not going to be able to out, you know, strategize him and get that win at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really high on Mike. I feel good about him. I felt like once he started talking, I just got that sort of natural charisma from him. And the fact that he acknowledges, look, I get it. I've got this external, you know, look about me that it can be intimidating. And it is so important that I, from the get-go, show that that's not me, that I am someone who is sensitive, who is caring. I really just think I don't know where that cutthroatness is going to come from. So that's really the biggest concern. I think he'll get along with everybody. I actually think that will be his strong suit. I think it's going to be the strategic element that might be a little bit challenging. And, you know, who can forget the Hoboken whisper? So, you know, he's, again, going to be out there cutting through the noise, I hope. And I'm rooting for him.
Okay. Chappelle, what's the emoji for Mike?
It's a fireman emoji.
Fireman. Okay. There you go.
Fireman emoji? Yeah. I'm not using a lot of emojis.
Mm-hmm. Got to get your emoji game up, Shannon.
Yeah.
Chappelle could teach a master class.
I know a few.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Are we ready to come back to Asia? Asia, yes. There are three picks that are left on the board. In alphabetical order, there is Daniel, there is Jackson, and there is Tori.
Correct. And so even though we only have three people left, I'm going to ride as hard for my third pick as I will for my first and second. So I am very high on this person. I'm going to go with Jackson.
Okay, mm-hmm. Here is
I like Jackson.
Jackson is a fellow Houstonian, so got to give him props there. He's a healthcare worker, so respect. I really like that he's into puzzling and weightlifting. And of course, you know, dog walker, of course. But I do like that he wants to play like Elaine, which means that he's aware that he's likable. And so I could see that really playing into his favor on his tribe. And so, you know, we really are steering clear of the grenades. And so I don't think he will be a grenade, because I feel like they're going to feel if the Taku tribe. Yeah. If they go to tribal council first, I feel as if they don't want to get rid of him because they're going to want the strength on their tribe. So That's why I'm leaning Jackson.
I'm obsessed with Jackson. Jackson was the first interview that I heard that I really just felt a warm energy from. Mm-hmm. It was very short though, so I felt I just wanted more information. I'm actually shocked that Jackson dropped this low. I would have been very happy to have Jackson as the last pick. I think that the Southern Charm element that he talked about is absolutely coming through. I felt like Jackson was very social, very sociable, and I just felt warm energy from him, and I'm excited to see him play.
Yeah. Jackson seems like the nicest person alive.
Yeah. Know, so he does seem very nice. I worried he might be a little out of his depth. That was the thing for me. Mm-hmm. I will say it was like my favorite moment of all the podcasts where he said Mike when he meant Adam. In terms of like the winner that he liked, and Mike Bloom went through like all the reasons, and they all could have also applied to Mike and Adam. And you're like, okay, but it could be Mike, like you know, came up with challenge, you had challenges in his win, but still played a good game, was doing it for his mom. Like, all of that was true. And then at the very, very end, it was like, but Ken also played a good game. It was just like, almost like intentionally funny, the way that was written. I don't know. I'm actually a little shocked that he did fall this low, but I think it speaks to the
strength of the cast.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these picks in the last few picks kind of could have all gone at, I think, any order.
Okay.
I would love if Jackson did really well. I hope for it. I don't know that I expect it.
Yeah. Just seems so nice.
Yeah.
So nice.
Yeah.
Like, he's too nice, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think there's going to be, I want there to be some hustle there. You know what I'm saying? I think on one of the podcasts, y'all compared Jackson to Genie.
Yes.
And I remember thinking like, but Genie got outworked, you know, when they had the fake idol and stuff like that. Like, Genie, you can't just be sitting around making friends. You got to get out there and hustle. So, you know, like, I'm rooting for Jackson. And they just seem so nice. And I think that if they won, everybody would be just so happy. And so, yeah, I think that that's a great pick.
Okay.
Yeah, I had Genie in the last draft, so that that works.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I rooted for Genie. Yeah, so yeah. There you go.
And like, little known fact for, you know, the Renap listeners, Jackson Fox did do the rap for the mailbag. So there you go. Yeah. I'm kidding. Relax.
That's not true.
I'm like, you're not British.
Okay. Asia, do you have an emoji?
Maybe so he likes puzzling, so we could do the puzzle piece.
What about the fox?
Oh, you're right. It was right in my face, and I was just,
when you guys were talking about, you know, Eddie Fox and Tasha Fox, it really made me remember how much What Does the Fox Say was such like a central part of RHAP in 2014.
It was a wand off before there was a wand off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jordan Kalish with another earworm with Aaron Robertson. Okay. All right. We are down to the final two here. Liana, you have an important decision to make. One pick will be for you, but you will also decide the fate of Puya tonight.
Yes. So this is a tough choice, but I think I'm going to go.
It's either Tori or Daniel here with the final.
That's right.
Pick.
So I'm going to go with a New Haven notable. Please clap. I'm picking Daniel.
Yay. All right. Let's go with it. Let's talk about Daniel Strunk.
Yes. So I am a little nervous for Daniel. I am hoping that the just silly, goofy, charmingness is able to come through. He is not perceived as, you know, too gamey. The answers, you know, to some of Mike's questions kind of went off the rails a little bit. So I'm hoping kind of like keep that in. And I'm, you know, I'll root for a fellow Yale-ite. Whatever.
You're light.
Okay.
You're light. Yeah.
You're light.
Daniel Strunk.
Yeah.
17th pick. I mean,
pet peeves are hit and miss here. He doesn't like people that are disruptive in movie theaters.
Okay.
Yep. That's bad. Mm-hmm. People that try to talk to you even though you're wearing headphones. Bane of my existence. Oatmeal raisin cookies masquerading as chocolate chip cookies. No, it's the reverse.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You need to leave.
Your issue is that like you accidentally pick up a chocolate chip cookie that you thought was an oatmeal raisin and you're pissed?
Look, if I accidentally eat chocolate, then something has gone terribly wrong. That's
Karen, that's a you thing. That's not on here.
There's no such thing as accidentally eating chocolate. You get chocolate. It's
powdered donuts. Powdered donuts? What's on the inside? Never know. No, not always.
There are some that are chocolate filled.
You can see them through the powder.
Well, that's if you investigate.
What are you taking? Terrence up there, Sherlock Holmes, a little like magnifying glass.
Experience as a child, I was young. I was like climbing up on the counter to reach the donuts. I ate one. It was chocolate. And
that's
I was
so good, Taryn. What child were you?
Damn, that was so bad, man.
So sorry that happened to you. Thank you for caring.
Yeah. I'm with you, Taryn. Anyway. I don't like chocolate either.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh my
god.
This is one that concerned me, though. People who are convinced that they are right, so convinced they are right that they foreclose debate. Just the way that he put that just made me think of like somebody that's gonna like be all up in my mentions about like, whoa, 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 whoa. You need to debate me on this because this is the fact that you're not even engaging me in this discussion means that you are closing off this discussion. I don't like that.
No, that's true. Some things are self-evident. Not everything needs to be debated. Like chocolate, great. No debate. We're done.
Chocolate, terrible. No debate.
No,
exactly.
No. Like there's that. No debate, Taryn.
Exactly. Okay. No debate. Okay. It's bad.
Listen. I like Daniel. I just think that in the past, we have seen the person who has done all the research, who has the spreadsheets, who knows the game in and out, who loves the game so much that they can't stop talking about it. They get on the island and they do exactly that. They cannot stop talking about it and it's off-putting. You know, like people want to play Survivor, they don't want to talk about Survivor, or they don't want to talk about Survivor all the time. We saw JD last season just like, I mean, making Woo references and just random like Survivor. Like it was like he was watching the show and talking about the show to the people on the show. And it's like, that doesn't play well. It just doesn't. And so like there are people who've been able to like downplay that, but Daniel doesn't strike me as one of the people who can. And so that's why I'm worried. I'm like, it doesn't look extremely physical. So I'm like, okay, well maybe if they lose, they could look at him. But also if you Survivor in people's ears off, I just don't know. I just don't. Mm-hmm. So I like Daniel. I think Daniel is a Post Show Recaps patron. And so I too am a Post Show Recap patron. So we have that in common. And so I hope they do well. But you cannot get out there and just, you know, be the Survivor encyclopedia that you want to be. And if you've been making spreadsheets for every episode of every podcast that you listen to, I have to believe that that's something that you're just going to be dying to talk about.
Mm-hmm. But you took Zach and Zach was transcribing podcasts. Like, I do think that the two final picks.
Hold on. In fairness to Zach, he was writing that there was, I believe, that Shannon, your call to action was future survivors, pay attention. And he wrote down what you said. This is entrapment, ma'am. Pick.
Yeah, you told him to do this.
He was listening to me.
Like, he doesn't sit there and transcribe News AF. Yeah,
the whole podcast. That's what he said.
Okay.
Listen,
he was doing this thing that transcribing our strategy podcast wouldn't be a good thing to do.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Morality votes and, you know.
If Zach doesn't pull off one morality vote, I'm going to be upset. I think it's a bit unfair for Chappelle to take Zach, who transcribed podcasts, and say Daniel shouldn't have been making spreadsheets about podcasts. Those two things are very similar and weird things to do. But
there is more utility in transcribing a podcast than making a spreadsheet of what podcast you listen to.
Let's not jump to conclusions about spreadsheets because I definitely think there's validity in creating spreadsheets for podcasts. I like the idea. And I'm positive on that.
Let's be very clear. You have to realize that the reason I picked Zach was to spite Shannon. So like that comes first. Okay. Then I can make these comments about Daniel Strong.
Okay,
so,
good.
I do like Daniel. Everything else aside, I do like that he actively put work into how he looked to like fit the sort of style that he wanted to play. I think that's a very underrated thing to do. How you look, I think, makes a huge difference in how people perceive you in the game and how they treat you in the game. So the fact that he's conscious of that, I like overall. He seems like somebody that will go in with a lot of these like good ideas. The issue is socially, can he stand up to the pressure? Essentially, can he work his way in with this cast? I'm not sure, but I do like him. I think he's
I think he'll be fun on the show. Can he win? I think signs pointing to not so good.
Yeah,
but I think the fact ahead, that Shannon. The last two picks. So they are the two people who overthought this the most, even with the transcription of the podcast. And they both are people who said, let me think about what my appearance is. Tori wearing blue, Daniel was talking about it as well. And I think it's like, if you naturally look like someone that people feel that they are ingratiated with or feel is approachable, that's great. But it's like the thinking so much about it, it's so purposeful. I like intentionality, but I feel like that's not what people enjoy. Like, I feel like the issue isn't kind of what you're overthinking, it's that you're overthinking. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably why these two people fell last.
I think it's great to think about it. I think that if he goes on the island and says, yeah, this is my new life, but I've actually like done this. Because like, even if he's saying it to his closest, that like, that's when it's like, okay, now.
Or if people read it at all, then they'll be like, what? Mm-hmm. So I think it's that overthinking. And that's why I think I would have taken Daniel a bit higher probably, but I think that's why these two picks kind of fall.
The biggest thing for me was in the interviews, Rob, where Mike had interviewed y'all, listened to it. There was one question that Mike asked. Daniel kept talking until you paused and said, what was even the question? Like, I do think he can't help himself. He wants to experience all this. He wants to speak about, you know, he's been waiting to be like, you know, Gordon Holmes, I messed with you. Josh Wiggler messed with you. Rob Sessinger messed. He's waiting to do the shot. He's very excited. And that worries me, obviously, because I do think that, have you now got it all out of your system in the interviews and you're ready to play and like not deep it too much? The answer for me is right now, no. So that is what I'm worrying about for Daniel. Obviously, again, I said this before, I'll say it again. You're a big fan of the show. I hope you do well. I hope your experience is a positive one. But winner, I mean, and I think, you know, Daniel kind of was giving us, you know, trying to taper expectations for himself. And like, if I don't win, it's no big deal. The whole interview to me felt like, could I win? I don't know. Am I going to do well? I don't know. I'm excited to be here. So if you're putting that out there, that's also telling me that you're not necessarily saying you're very confident in your capabilities, given all the spreadsheets, given all the data. So,
Liana,
he loves Mike Bloom, and I love Mike Bloom. So, same. I'm okay with it.
Liana, do you have an emoji for Daniel?
How about a gavel? Is there a gavel emoji?
This is gavel.
He's a lawyer, a law clerk guy. Okay, bang, bang. You know. Let's do this.
Okay.
Yeah. who are you going to pick?
All right.
It's a hard one, you know. It's a hard one. Like, you know, 11 picks have gone by. What is left for me to pick? So obviously I got Tori. My worry, we've put so much in the blue tribe's going to be the last, the first tribe to the tribal.
Yeah.
I have two of them now. That's 33% chance. Not loving that. I will explain why. Tori was lower on my list as well here. Tori, exactly what Shannon put out, I think, has deeped this too much, has thought about it too much. I'm going to wear the color blue because, you know,
did not like that.
Yeah, the studies show that the color blue, this, I'm like, well, you're in the blue tribe now. So you're all wearing blue because you're wearing blue. Like, that's not going to do anything for you. One, in the interview, I heard a lot of, you know, I'm a therapist and as a therapist, this, as a therapist, as a therapist, as a therapist, I think a therapist is a great occupation to play the game of Survivor. However, if you start trying to put everything in the therapist box and you try and, you know, therapist first, game second, therapist first, analysis second, I don't think that's necessarily going to gel well for you. Sometimes you just got to talk to people and go off the energy and do whatever the conversation is. You don't need to take the information, put it under the microscope, figure out what the best move is, bring it out. That always gives me some nervousness as well. So that's a bit of a red flag for me. Now, as far as age goes, good age for Survivor. Someone who has played some orgs and stuff. So, you know, I think that you have some knowledge of playing these types of games, which is good. Ultimately, are you going to gel well with your tribe? We'll see. Are you going to be able to not do a lot? We'll see. That being said, if Tori survives the first boot, I'm not mad at getting Tori at 18th, to be honest with you. I don't think this is a horrible pick for me.
It's a pretty good pick for 18.
It's a very good pick for 18, provided that I don't have the first boot on my draft board. So that's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point, Booyah, especially with like, the thing is like, I think Tori can do well. I just think when we are making our picks, this is not us saying that Tori is definitely the worst player that we see, right? It's that other ones stood out for us for other reasons. Mm. And like with me, when I got down to it, I was like, I'm picking Mike because I feel like if this tribe wants to win the challenge, they're going to keep him, you know? And so like, that's why I went that way. But it's not to say that like Tori stands out as like, oh, we're discounting their chances to play the game. I think in past drafts, that's probably been the case where you look at somebody and you're like, that person is number one and it's going to happen, you know? But this time, I don't think that's the case. I just think that like there were other reasons and other factors to go like with the like just people, like you said, with vibes. I mean, they're like, there's no way I wasn't going to pick Marianne over Tori, you know? And then, you know, at that point, then I was like, I had to pick Zach because I have to spite Shannon, you know? And so like, for me, Tori was going to fall, like Tori fell very low. I'm kind of surprised, But at the same time, I think that if they're, I don't think this is a grenade. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think she'll be fine.
I think it's show, don't tell. I think that's what we've been trying to find. It's like someone who tells you why they're going to connect with people and has thought about it over and over again. And it's this very like specific thing versus like, oh, I can tell you're going to connect with people because I can hear it in this interview. I think that's kind of what we were picking up on. But I still think someone like Tori, I mean, she does have that experience. Being a therapist should be a really good profession for Survivor. Good age, good stats around that. I don't think we'll be looked at as someone who kind of needs to go early. So from a grenade perspective, that could work out pretty well.
Well, what really needled me was the fact that she's got this whole strategy laid out called tea game. But what is tea game, right? Like, we only learned the E. What is the rest of it? I just like, I want to know that information, you know?
Such a good question. Yeah.
Yeah, exact. Thank you. Yeah. I felt like, you know, I really needed the full acronym meaning to, you know, to take that jab. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I think it exists. I think it's out there. Tori's somebody I've watched play before. She was on Sequester, and she was pretty popular on it. A lot of people liked her game. I was kind of a dissenter, though. I wasn't super impressed with the social ability from Tori, that her reads in particular, and the way that she sort of like tried to connect with people. Just didn't seem to work, and people saw her as a big threat, and they thought that she was impressive, but nobody really connected, nobody really bonded with Tori in a way that I think you would need to, and especially to win a game like Survivor. For me, like, I think Tori can do well. I think she's smart, and I think that she can absolutely, you know, get in there, but I don't know that she can win. I just don't know that it's there for her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good insight.
Yep. 18th pick here for Puya. Yep. Puya says, let's give it a shot.
All right. Listen, rolling the dice here. Could I go 2 for 2? Who knows?
Yeah,
let's give her the blue cap emoji. She wanted some blue. Let's give her the blue cap emoji.
It has to be blue.
Okay. All right. 18 players are drafted. Let's review. All right. Taryn, you got it all started. Your team ends up being Chanel.
Yeah.
Lydia. All right. Jonathan.
Okay.
Enthusiasm waned through the picks. So that's
okay.
Yeah.
Chanel, Lydia, Jonathan. All right. Shannon, what a wild ride it was for you tonight.
You try to do a nice thing.
Yeah. You walk away with Omar.
Yeah.
Lindsay.
Okay.
And Romeo.
Okay.
How you feeling?
No, I feel good. I mean, I think the fact that I was distracted by Taryn's gift the whole time. And I really apologize to everyone and myself and my team. But actually, like, looking at the full team, I think it looks good. I'm glad to get my winner pick in Omar. And I think it's actually quite solid. So I've come all the way around. I'm now in an okay place. And go my team.
Okay. All right. Now, Chappelle, for you, you come away with Marianne, Zach, and Mike.
And I am very happy. These seem like very nice people. And if they win, I'll be so happy to celebrate them. It's going to be amazing watching them play. I'm going to be terrified every episode because I don't want any of them to lose. And so, yeah, I'm fine with my draft picks this time.
Okay. Asia, you had a lot of people that you wanted that you didn't get. The people you did get end up being High, ends up being Swathi, and Jackson.
Yes, solid team. I'm excited for them. I don't think that any of them are going home first. I'm excited to root for them. I'm going to make us shirts and I'm going to mail them to them so that they know. Asia's draft team. Asia. Right? Team Asia.
You can get them from the CBS store. I'm pretty sure that Liana and I can help you with advertising for that. Mm-hmm. So use their code. 20%
dead relative saying hi. Get it?
Yes,
hi.
There you go.
Can we talk about the fact that CBS, they came up with these phrases and then they were like, make some shirts out of these. Like, these are really
I know. You, we did it.
It wasn't organic from your show. You made them say that.
Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
First, we make them say the references, then we will sell the references.
And we sell the shirt. Yeah. Yeah. They actually just bought the shirts first. They're like, how do we move these? Okay, well, I got an idea. Make them say it.
Yeah.
Make them say the thing.
How much that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
What are we going to do with 500? Dead relatives of butterfly saying hi to sure. Yeah.
This is the type of mug that someone's going to end up looking at a garage sale and be like, what was this guy smoking? Like, what is this? I don't get it.
Okay. And then for Liana, you walk away with Drea. You end up with Mariah and you end up with Daniel.
I'm excited. I think I have a pretty solid team. I'm hoping that there's no grenade issues and we can bring home a win.
Okay. And Puya, for you, it's Roxroy, it's Jenny, it's Tori.
If it's the grenade, then that's what it'll be. Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Listen, it can't get worse than a double grenade, right? I might have one of the people in the first episode. Then it is
worse. Why tempt fate?
I mean, it literally could be worse.
There could be a medical evacuation also.
We didn't agree.
People, like,
listen, all I'm saying is
survivor first.
I'm starting to hit like low lows in these drafts. There's going to hit a point where there's the lowest low and there's only up. Mm-hmm. So
stop worrying and learn to love the grenade. Okay, all right.
This could be the draft that changes things. I would like for the worst case scenario, this is the draft that still does bad. Then I've cleared everything for BB24. So, well, listen, we got to just stay optimistic. That's what we're doing here.
Okay. All right. Should we ask the listeners to pick who got the best team? Would that be helpful or to this exercise?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. That'd be fun.
All right. A good team. Sam, can we do that on Monday? I'd love to see a poll. Love to see who did the listeners like.
And then what do we do when they say Taryn?
Have a question.
Yes.
So last time round, we had it where if you have the grenade on your team, if they're the first boot, right, they're gone. The only other way you win is if you have the first and second place finisher on your team. Is that that's still very unlikely, but is that still what we're keeping there as a condition?
I would open it up. If your team just has to get to the final, the rest of your team just has to get to the final three. It doesn't even have to be first and second.
Okay.
No, then you don't win. What if you don't have the winner?
You have the winner. Yeah. You have the winner.
They have to be.
And, and your other person is second or third place.
Yeah.
Puya is very informed of the grenade rules. I forgot that one. But
I'm the only one who knows how it feels, okay? It's a very unique feeling.
I think it's 1 and 2. I think we go 1 and 2.
I don't mind it being third, Taryn.
Get to the podium. You get to the podium.
Get to the podium.
Okay. All right. Very fun draft tonight. Let's talk about what else is going on Survivor Premiere Week. Of course, it's going to be the Survivor Know-It-Alls back here on Wednesday night. Join us live after the episode as Steven and Rob are going to break it down one more time. The 2-hour premiere of Survivor 42 coming up on Wednesday night. Then, of course, so much Big Brother Canada coming up tomorrow night. We'll be talking about Monday night's recap. Taryn and I will be live with Kirsten McInnes and Sasha Joseph Monday night to talk about the third episode only. Can you believe it's only going to be the third episode of Big Brother Canada?
Third episode, we'll find out what they got for Wendy's. It'll be great.
Yeah, can't wait. It should be fun as I join the Big Brother coverage on Mondays this season. We've also got coming up on Monday, 90 Day Fiancé. Haven't watched the episode yet, Puya. Looking forward to that.
Big same. It's how I'm going to start my morning, and I'm going to talk to you. It's going to be a blessed Monday.
Okay. Be sure to check out the 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 Day. We're having a great time with this wild season. Chappelle, people are loving the most recent edition of Nothing But Netflix, where you and AJ Norris took us into the MCU, the Madea Cinematic Universe, as I got my first taste of Madea in a Madea Homecoming.
Listen, if you've never seen Madea, if you've never listened to Nothing But Netflix, please, please, just this one. Just listen to Nothing But Netflix this week as we introduce Rob to Mabel Simmons, Madea, and Tyler Perry and the entire Madea cinematic universe.
It was wild.
It was a time.
Wild ride.
And I'm surprised they still allow you to have a podcast network after that one got released, because I'm sure we got you.
We were getting a lot of tweets about one of the funniest podcasts talking about Madea Homecoming.
I haven't laughed that hard in a very long time.
Really, so really, a good one. Really, really fun. Check that one out. Okay. Then we have, look who's back. It's Mike and Liana for the B&B.
We recorded this earlier today, and my Lord, it was a fun mess. Very, very messy. A lot of tangents. I talked about my mom's new pet. We get into all of the things that Mike didn't cover through all of the interviews. So I highly recommend checking it out.
Okay. Shannon, what's coming up over on Survivor Global?
So many things. I did 3.5 hours with Mike on week 5 of Australian Survivor last week. If anyone hasn't caught up with that, there are exits. Week 6 this week with Simon Mee. And then Survivor Global will start this weekend. Hayley Leek will be my first guest, and we will do weekly coverage. So that's what's going on that feed.
Okay. All right. Then we also will have, in case you're just joining us, a bunch of stuff. And then, Taryn, what's coming up on the Taryn Show this week?
The Taryn Show, I talked to Ty, our most recent Big Brother Canada winner, coming up for the next one, another Big Brother Canada winner. It's going to be Kevin Martin.
Wow.
Going to be joining me for the Taryn Show. And of course, for Survivor, don't miss the Survivor Stock Watch. I'll be doing those every week, and they'll come out on Thursdays. It'll be a good time.
Okay. And then we also have, from this weekend, Asia, the big Love is Blind reunion show.
Whew, it was a show. It was so entertaining. I'm so glad that I watched it. I loved it so much. Yes, I'm so glad I watched it twice. And yeah, it gave what it was supposed to give, Rob. So Scally joined Mary and I to talk about the reunion. We had a great time. Go check it out. It was a fun
one. They need another one. They need a second reunion.
Honestly, there were things that needed to be unpacked that we didn't scratch the surface.
Why was it only an hour?
Exactly.
I hope the podcast is longer. Yeah.
Hour and a half. Okay. Easily.
Easy.
But yeah, you can find that on the Love at First Sight feed, where you can also find all of my Married at First Sight coverage with Jason Reed.
Okay. All right. And then, of course, a great time to check out becoming a patron of Rob as a Podcast. It's the start of a brand new Survivor season. We have a brand new Survivor show coming in our patron podcast feed. Plus, we make it so easy for you to watch Big Brother Canada and Australian Survivor, not to mention the Patreon 5 for 5, monthly patron cast, the Facebook community, and on Discord. It's all at robisawebsite.com/patron. And of course, we have here, what is this? I got to go full screen on this. What do we think? Okay, subscribe, new picture, subscribe at robisawebsite.com and follow us on social media as well. And hit that subscribe button for us on YouTube as well. Make sure you get the latest episodes that we do here, streaming live here on YouTube. Okay, let's check back in with everybody one last time. Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
Okay. Yeah, I've had a busy time. So you've already talked about Nothing But Netflix, but people can check that out. If you don't want to watch and listen to the Madea one, you're mistaken. You definitely want to listen to that. But tune in every week to listen to me and Rob talk about hit Netflix shows on Nothing But Netflix. Also, I just recently did the Abbott Elementary podcast on Silent Podcast. We did a coverage of the first season up to the mid-season part. We just talked about a fun show. So over on Silent Podcast, check that out. That should be in your podcast feeds today. I'm still covering The Walking Dead on post-show recaps with Josh Wiggler, AJ Mass, and Jessica Leese every week over there. Also on post-show recaps, me and Puya here are still talking about Bel-Air on Peacock. So that's always a good time as well. Check that out. I'm talking about Boy Meets World this week on the Shit 90 Shows Taught Me podcast, talking about the episode where Corey goes up to a cabin and meets a girl that's not Topanga. And so it's one of my favorite episodes. And so we're going to get into that as well. And then Rob, I think you and I are going to be talking about Survivor this week because I think the feedback show, I'll be joining you for that, if I'm not mistaken.
We're going to kick it off. Yeah, Chappelle's going to join me to talk Survivor feedback this weekend.
Yeah, so we'll get to talk about the premiere. And then finally, on Post Show Recaps, we just launched a new podcast for the FX show Atlanta. And so LaTanya Starks, Mari Forth, and myself will be covering this third season of Atlanta now that it's back from hiatus. And so check me out anywhere I just named and follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show, where I'll be tweeting out all of those podcasts as they drop.
Okay, great job, Chappelle. Good luck in the draft. Asia, anything else coming up for you?
No, that's pretty much it. You can find all of my coverage at robhasawebsite.com/firstsightfeed. Just subscribe there. You can hear Love's Blind, Married at First Sight, and then follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. That's A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A.
Okay. Great job, Asia. I know you didn't get the people you really wanted, but I hope your team still does well. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like Love is Blind. Not everybody got the person they really wanted.
Exactly.
Look at Shane and Shayna.
Right.
Right?
Let's not talk about that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Liana, what's coming up for you?
Drag Race is going strong. We are in the middle of season 14. We're also talking about UK versus the world at the end of those shows. So if you are a Drag Race fan, totally recommend checking it out. It's always a good time with Amon and Beth. And then Puya and I are going to be talking about The Masked Singer, Uh-oh. Which will be starting back up this coming week as well. So a lot going on. I think the first episode, based on some of the leakage, is going to be intense. Mm-hmm. So I was going to say looking forward to talking about it. I don't know if I am, but Puya and I
will
be
looking forward
there
to Survivor this week.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Puya, what's coming up for you?
Well, Liana and Chappelle both plugged two of them, so I appreciate you for making it easy for me. 90 Day Fiancé, obviously, Arby, you've already mentioned that as well. That'll be happening tomorrow. If you can find me on Twitter, at Puyaism, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I do stream there 3-4 times a week. So those are two other things that are going on. As far as mastering goes, real quick, yeah, we're going to yada yada the first episode, then we're going to do our draft on the podcast. So definitely check it out for the draft. That'll be the thing you come there for. And yeah, thanks for having me on here. Hopefully I'm not Mr. Two Grenades, but we'll see.
Okay. All right, it can't happen again. Come on, man. What are the chances?
Hey, if it does, I'm not ready to deal with that yet.
I'm not ready to deal with you.
You have to buy him so many CBS shirts. Like, it's time. Yeah.
So many nuggets.
Yeah, we managed to get through this whole draft without any nugget talk.
Which I do appreciate.
Almost. Yeah.
Really do appreciate Almost. That we're here.
Almost, yeah.
No, Taryn, no.
Shannon, what's going on for you?
Rob, don't owe me a Happy Meal.
If Puya gets the double-double, he will eat how many nuggets?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the question of that we didn't even discuss it. Australian Survivor all the time. Australian Survivor Talking Tribal, RGP Recaps, Exit, Survivor Global, 4 Survivor podcasts a week for me.
Okay,
and
all right.
And for me, Ashton and Kate, for all of that.
Okay. Shannon, take care of yourself, okay?
It concerns me so much that after every draft, you have to say that.
Yeah. This isn't going to be the last Survivor season. We need you for many, many more.
I'm hanging in there.
Okay. Well. Okay.
I'm sane.
All right. And here he is, the champ. Can he make it three? Well, let's see. Well, Big Brother Canada will have ended before Survivor. Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, BB Can ends the day after May 4th, May 5th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was going to say before it starts. I'm like, that's this week, guys. You know, the schedule, there's no way. I was so confused.
Yeah.
Okay.
So potentially, this could be win number 4 in a row for you, Taryn.
Theoretically, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite part of this podcast was Sam in the chat saying, Taryn, if I walked too slowly when we were in Chicago in 2015, I apologize.
I think that was Scott.
Oh, is that Scott? That's yes. Scott. Oh.
Did you know Sam in 2015?
Yeah.
Scott.
And no I think it was 2017. If
and now Scott checking. And Sam are like fighting in the chat.
Yeah.
If it was Sam, I was going to say, look, you know what you did to me and you're dead to me in this game. But Scott's fine. Scott.
Tara, you're a walk shamer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. Sam, what about it?
All right. And Taryn, what's coming up for you?
Check out the Survivor Stockwatch. As I said, I'll be doing that every week. It'll be quicker than the previous ones. We'll kind of like speed through the
speed
recap.
Walk. Yeah.
Yeah, just we'll speed through it, speed walk through it, and we'll rate the players based on how well we think they're doing. It's always a good time to do that. So check it out. Check out the Taryn Show. Check out the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'll be watching Survivor live every week. So if you want to watch it with me, you can get my live reactions, hang out with a huge amount of people in the chat, watch it all together. It's a good time. So check out the Twitch channel and have a good time.
Okay. If anybody still wants one more plug, check out Renap from this weekend. The jingle bracket, we kicked off bracket season, had a lot of fun with Jacob Redman going through what's the best commercial jingle of all time. Very fun episode of Renap. Thank you so much for listening. This was so fun to get back together with the Survivor Draft panel for another fun one. Can't wait to see what happens Wednesday night. Thank you for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.